Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a few Magic Key updates, a huge win for Disneyland Forward, some little decorations,
a glimpse of the future for entering the parks, Disney Channel Night recap, and we talk about Disney versus non-Disney cruises and so much more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings, and be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 13th, 2024. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show. And this week, we would like to give a special shout out to Anna V for becoming a patron, and also to Christopher J, Lindsay C, and Melissa V for your continued support. If you would like to help support the show to make sure that we keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussions, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Now, let's get to the news. Well, weekly tiers who have wanted to get a magic key still have that opportunity. Some of the keys are still open for sale. For those who joined the queue as soon as the keys went back on sale, they were greeted with a new system that allowed notification through email, the inventory level of the keys that were available, and added monthly payments to qualifying guests. Key holders can get a special magnet, take part in exclusive character interactions, and photo spots.
This is wild. So actually, keys went on sale last week. I didn't even think it was worthwhile to mention in last week's episode because keys usually went, like, sold out in the blink of an eye. Like, it was usually a one day only thing. Well, so the fact
if that
maybe even mere hours. So the fact that it's been a week and some of these keys are still on sale is wild.
As the recording of this episode, which is Tuesday, March 12th at 6:45 p.m. Central Time, the Inspire Key Pass, the Believe Key Pass, and the Enchant Key Pass are available still.
Crazy. Just crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
And we'll also note, we are not California residents, so I don't know if we can see if the SoCal-specific pass is on sale or not. I do think I saw a report saying that that one was the only one that had been sold out, though.
Yeah.
So what do you think this means? Because it was just not that long ago, like 3 months ago maybe, that keys went on sale and it was kind of disastrous. They all sold out within like 8 hours or something. Mm-hmm. And the people that were in the queue, we had weekly tiers that were in the queue for hours and hours and hours to then finally get to the front of line to find out their pass, the pass they wanted, or all passes for that matter, had been sold out. So what do you think's different about this release?
Well, I don't know. If I had to guess, one of the stories we're going to talk about in a minute is they had that lawsuit. And I think they were being very cautious with the Magic Key sales because until that like figured itself out. So I think that they had artificially low caps on the Magic Key program. And I think that once that got settled, they were like, okay, we can now open the floodgates and just say, look, we've only got reservations during this time or whatever, and just totally know that you have to have a reservation, all this stuff. In fact, if you go to the purchase page, they have a giant thing at the top that says check Magic Key calendar before purchasing, and also knowing that you need reservations. So I think that they got past the lawsuit and now kind of, I don't know if they're going to limit keys at this point, and they're just going to be like, well, we can sell as many keys as we want. And as long as we, because what's limiting is the reservation,
that's
not
true.
The key.
Yeah, that's true.
So you could buy a key. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can get in the park necessarily.
I was almost wondering the flip side, if a lot of people had maybe let their keys lapse and expire and chose not to renew because of things that just then maybe made more availability. Because I always think of keys, this could be totally wrong because, right, Disney doesn't tell us their secrets. But I always thought of keys as like a number, whatever that number may be. There's X amount of this level, Y amount of that level, that sort of thing. So once we sell out of that, it's kind of like After Dark events. There's so many tickets to it. And once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
If people then decide not to re-up, then that kind of makes availability for others to take their place. But this is too big for it to be that sort of a thing. Now, there's no way to me, like, in my mind, maybe I'm naive, there's no way that that many people have let their keys expire that they're on sale for over a week. Yeah. Like that's probably a big, big, big number of keys. So we do have there were some people in our group chat for Weekly Tiers that were kind of speculating if this maybe was signaling the end of reservations or if reservations could be changing with opening up the ability for more people to have keys. Because really, like you said, more people, more keys, it might be harder for people to get reservations then. So maybe reservations, maybe it goes to something more like the Flex Pass, what that was. You had good to go days and then you had higher traffic days that needed reservations. Time will tell, but I do think there's more than meets the eye here.
Or, to be very pessimistic, which I don't think is the case, it could be that many people just aren't getting passes, that people canceled, people are kind of frustrated with the program. It's finally hit a pricing. There's a lot of inflation and stuff going on right now. I mean, we've seen it with support for the show. Like, people aren't spending money frivolously as much as they were. And Disneyland's not like a must-have.
Yeah.
I still think, for the price, even at the highest level, if we lived closer, the price for an Inspire Key Pass, which right now is $1,649, I think is a pretty good value if you go enough.
I was going to say, depending on how often you go. That could be a great value. If you're someone that's going once a week, that seems like it could be a steal. But you also have competition because you've got places like Knott's that also have annual passes that arguably... Clearly, our hearts are Disneyland, since this is a Disneyland podcast. Arguably, I don't think it's the same level as Disney.
Well, look at Universal. Really... They're building a bunch of stuff right now. Maybe people are like, you know, we've done Disneyland. There's not really anything new. Why don't we take the year or two off and we'll go to Knott's or we'll go to Universal or whatever. We'll go to the beach.
Yep, that's what I was trying to say. But it's a better value
for
those passes because... It's just not as hard of a hit to the pocketbook.
Well, even Eric, my co-host over at Hub Crawl, he said that he has an annual pass right now to Knott's because when he went to buy tickets, they're like, are you going to be here at least one more day this year? Because you might as well get the annual pass if you're going to be here. Yeah. And he's like, well, I could probably make it over here one more day this year. And so he got the pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of all things key, the lawsuit that was filed by the Dream Magic key holders stating that Disneyland misled and deceived customers had its settlement finalized this week. 103,431 Dream key holders will get about $67 each from the 9.5 million class action lawsuit. That's crazy when you break it down like that. Mm-hmm. Weekly Tiers who are part of the lawsuit will be contacted. So there's nothing, if you were a Dream key holder that this affected, there is nothing you have to do additionally. You'll be contacted. This will get taken care of. Your $67 will be on its way to you.
I always joke about Disney printing money. The Dream key was the top tier key, was it not? So at the time, what was this, $1,200, $1,300, something like that? Times that by 103,431 keys. Whew. My goodness, that's a lot of money.
It's a pretty penny.
Now,
but you know what?
It's also expensive.
Do you want to know what's exciting about this? There's a number. Weren't we just talking about, well, how many keys do you think there are and all that? There is a number that was released with this lawsuit. So we know...
Now, the question is,
over 103,000.
This was the top tier, so this probably had the smallest amount.
But still, there's a number.
What do you think the lower keys are? Like the Southern California passes.
Yeah.
Like, I would find it fascinating to get actual numbers from Disney on things, just to see kind of what it is, but they hold that very close to the vest.
I also find it really funny that it's 431, that it's not a round number.
Sure. Well, they probably had some algorithm or something that they figured out.
Maybe it was a percentage.
Well, some great news on the Disneyland Forward project this week. The Anaheim Planning Commission approved the proposal 5-1. The vote was after 2 hours of public comments with 54 total speakers. 40 of those people were in favor and 13 against. The Anaheim City Council is still required for final approval, which could happen in April.
This is exciting. And the thing that's also really interesting to me about this is, so the place that I work, everyone knows that I'm a big Disney person, but somebody that I work with that I did not think had any idea what was going on in the Disney universe. This is making news that that coworker was like, hey, I heard there's some big project that they're looking to expand at Disneyland in California. You've got to be excited about that. And I was just, it was really amazing. Like, it was just so like, kind of, what? How did you hear about that kind of a thing? So I, again, remember, Tag and I live in the Midwest, so it's not like we live in Southern California where this is a big news story. This is making waves all the way out to us here in the Midwest. So I just thought that was wild. This is exciting, though. This project looks like it'd be a great thing for the resort. I'm really excited to see what new experiences come with this. I'm curious to see different things of how, like, they're gonna, I don't know, kind of Disney bubble the area a little bit more, differently, better, however you want to say it. Because, like pedestrian bridges and like all that. I'm just curious. I'm really curious to see, because it's tough. You guys know this. If you are staying on Harbor, crossing in the morning or at night can be a little tough, because that's a busy, busy road. And then you've got tons and tons of people trying to funnel in and out of Disneyland. I think it'd be better for the community, better for the everyone, if they kind of made that process maybe better. There was one night, this is kind of off topic, there was one night that you and I were standing, there was a high speed chase on that
road. Oh yeah.
And we were standing on that corner, and everybody kind of took a few big steps back because you didn't know what was going to happen, but it was a high speed chase and they kept going up and down, and they kept whipping around and going up and down, back and forth on Harbor.
Well, there was a thing not that long ago where like there was a high speed chase there and it hit somebody.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's scary. So I like the thought process. I don't want it to be something where they're going to deter and attract business from those businesses that are there, because it's important, you know, for them to get the traffic too, 100%. But safety and I just overall flow, I'm just curious to see how it all pans out.
Did we talk previously about the fact that Disney wants to purchase Magic Way and eliminate it? Because
I don't know if I knew about the eliminating, but I knew that they wanted to purchase it.
Yeah, it's going to be their, apparently they got approval for that too, that it's going to be like a, like an emergency services only. It's not going to be like a public road, which is interesting, because then it's like, okay, how are people going to get into the parking area for like...
It's all coming around.
The question that I have, I mean, I have a lot of questions about the master plan of this. First of all, I'm very excited. I think there's a lot of potential and possibility with this, and I'm glad that they're getting the flexibility to do some of that. The sad thing, as with anything when you build it, I mean, I think we actually had a question on HubCrawl about this a few weeks ago that I said, if you could take a park and keep all the attractions but move it around, like reorganize it in a way that would better make sense, I feel like this plot of land where the hotels and the parking structures and stuff are currently would be an area that I think that if Disney had the opportunity, if it was a blank slate, they would reorganize this area differently. Like, I think they would put the main hotels like at the borders of this space, so they have more, because right now with this current plan, you know, the Pixar Place Hotel is kind of like oddly in the middle. The Disneyland Hotel is also kind of there. There's, of course, downtown, the stuff they just built for Downtown Disney. I don't know. There's just a bunch of things there that I feel like if they would have known that they were going to do stuff like this, they would have done it differently.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do think, though, with the layout, we're looking at the concept art right now. The things are still kind of on the edges. Like, the Disneyland Hotel is still kind of on the edge. I don't know, like, would they like that space so that they could have something else there and said, yeah. But I don't think it doesn't feel like it's smack dab in the middle. Sure. It's kind of like in the way and you have to go around it.
Yeah.
I guess. I believe in the Imagineers, Tag. They're going to blend that in. You're not even going to know. It's going to just feel like part of the area. But anyways, this is exciting because honestly, this is a major, major project. This was a major proposal. The last time Disney was trying to do something, not to this scale, but up there,
and I was like, no.
It did not go over. The city was not on board with it. So there was a big concern here that could happen again. So I'm glad that Disney came to the table with some, let's be honest, they're being a little more realistic. Last time they came to the table, they had some pretty high demands and expectations from the city.
Yeah.
That the city, I'm sure, is why they said, no, we're not going to do that. So I'm glad that they kind of came to the table and they're willing more to meet in the middle, I think, on this one. So
I totally think so, too.
I'm curious. I'm also really curious about the new area that's going to be across from, like, the convention center. That's going to be kind of the Disney Springs-ish expanded version of Downtown Disney to kind of see how that takes shape and what fun, cool things might be coming to our area.
I don't know.
It's just wild. Because, like, when I was just at Disney Springs, I just thought it was so cool that they've got a Cirque du Soleil show in their Disney Springs. That's a Disney-themed thing. I'm like, that's so cool. Like,
well, one of the other things that came up this week was the fact that Bob Iger let slip during a thing that an Avatar was coming to Disneyland. Yes,
people have run with that.
My question for you is, because this came up and I was curious to get your thoughts on it since we're talking about plans. Do you think this Avatar land or attraction or whatever, where do you think it's going to go? Because people have said somewhere in DCA, there's all of Hollywood Land, which is kind of a mishmash of nothing right now. Some people said that, you know, an area in Disneyland that has a lot of space right now is the Tomorrowland and all that stuff.
I saw these comments and they were making my skin crawl.
What about something that shows up over here?
Why wouldn't you put it in the new area? That's my thought, too. Yeah. I feel like putting an Avatar-themed experience slash land, because Iger said land, and then everybody like was like, whoa, 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 he meant experience. So some people are reading into, oh, he didn't say land by accident, and other people are like, you know. So who knows? We'll find out eventually whenever it comes.
Hopefully at D23.
Comes out what's going on. But why would you try and force it into an area when you're on the way to getting blank slate approvals?
Sure.
Where you've got more flexibility to create what it is. If they were limited and had to put it in a park, so we'll think of it that way. If they're limited and had to put it in a park, DCA makes the most sense versus Disneyland makes no sense. I don't think it makes any dang sense to put Avatar in Tomorrowland / Fantasyland, like that little kind
somebody
of meetup corner.
In the Mice Chat comments made a good argument for putting it there, and I kind of bought into it. So think about Avatar Land. So you could put some more of the whimsical Pandora-y stuff towards Fantasyland and more of the space colony kind of thing towards Tomorrowland. Or, you know what also dawned on me? Maybe Disney's tired of dealing with Tomorrowland and maybe they're like, you know what? We're just going to get rid of Tomorrowland and we're going to have Pandora instead.
No.
It's not impossible that they would do something like that necessarily. Maybe that's why they haven't done anything with Tomorrowland.
No,
they're just
Space
like,
Mountain then, because that's not fitting in to Pandora.
I don't know.
I don't see that. I think the easiest way to do it would be Grizzly Peak, because that's already got the vegetation.
Yeah, but I like Grizzly
Peak.
No,
I do too. I'm not saying I want this to happen.
Okay.
If it were up to me, Avatar would stay in Pandora in Animal Kingdom, because it's that's perfect.
Sure,
we don't need to carbon copy that over and translate it to Disneyland. Now, if they have, I'm more okay with an experience than I am having a dedicated land for Avatar. I think it'd be cool to have like an Avatar experience.
Sure.
Maybe at this new Downtown Disney area thing. And it's kind of like some virtual reality thing that you can do, not necessarily Flight of Passage or the Way of Water. Well, no, that's the movie. What's the
Navi
boat
River
ride?
Journey.
The River Journey.
Navi River
like,
Journey.
Yep. I don't want one of those carbon copy things just plopped in Disneyland. I would like something new.
Well, see, you got ahead of me, because my next question was going to be, since we're talking about this, is they've talked about how they want to bring all these lands they've built other places here.
I don't know if they mean that or if this is another blue sky-y thing. Like, we could do things, because it's always been, we could do things like this, like that. I would like to see, what is it called? Fantasy Springs, where it's like the storybooks came to life.
Oh, sure.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I wish I could have lived when the pirate ship and Skull Rock was in Fantasyland. I think that would have been so dang cool.
I don't know why they got rid of that, because that was really cool. They have it in Paris.
Yeah.
If you ever go to Paris, they got a whole thing.
Like, there's a couple of like top tippity. There's a lot of reasons I want to go to Paris, but some things that I'm really looking forward to, this is so off topic, is Skull Rock.
Yeah.
But also the Alice in Wonderland maze. I think that is so cool.
It is fun. It is fun.
I think that's just such a fun, like only Disney have these things.
I don't know about the Avatar thing. The last thing I'll say on it so we can move on is I feel like Disney should go back to the concept of the concept lands.
Yeah.
Fantasy, adventure, frontier.
Nope,
and not do Star Wars, Avatar, whatever.
Right.
Like, you could put those properties in a land.
Yeah.
you know, to do this. And I think that's what made Disneyland so special, and it's so flexible. Mm-hmm. Adventureland, anything that kind of counts towards like jungly adventure, you can put it there. Mm-hmm. But like Star Wars Land, the only thing you can put in there is Star Wars stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Or, you know, you look at things like Harry Potter. The only thing they can put in there is in Universal is Harry Potter stuff.
Yep.
So what happens if at some point people aren't into Marvel anymore? Now you've got this Marvel Land.
Yep.
Where Fantasyland, as long as it's fantasy.
I will say I do think Pixar Pier works, because Pixar Pier is kind of
like... But that is a concept.
It's an IP, but it's also a concept.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's not one property. Yeah. It's a collection of properties.
Yep. I think that works, even though it's probably...
Which, I mean, I guess you could say that about Star Wars and Marvel, because they're a collection of different stories.
I think that's more... those are very specific.
Sure.
Though. Whereas Pixar feels kind of like... just Disney is just kind of more of a feels like a bigger encompassing thing. Maybe that's just me though.
You make a good point, actually.
Well, one of the smallest inhabitants of Disneyland has decorated their home for St. Patrick's Day. I don't know why. I thought this was so cute. The little man of Disneyland, Patrick Bagora, has a pot of gold, a rainbow streamer, and some green decorations installed at his home near Indiana Jones in Adventureland. This is such a fun, cool little detail. So for those of you that don't know where Patrick lives, if you're in Adventureland, go to the Indiana Jones attraction signpost. Kind of looks like it's hanging off a tree. If you look at the base of this faux tree sign, that is where Patrick's tiny little home is. And it's so cute because there's like a little, I don't know, little window. There's a little chimney coming out the side. Of course, it's a little front door. But what a fun, I don't know if they've done... maybe they've done this and I've missed it, but I just think it's like, what a cute, fun little thing.
It is very cute. It is very cute. I don't really have anything else to say about it, but it's cute. You should go check it out. It's fun.
I love it. I love it.
Now, speaking of fun, the newest Disneyland After Dark Night event was a rousing success. Disney Channel Night was held last week on two nights, and guests seemed to have a blast with all the characters, atmosphere, food, and, of course, merchandise. Social media was full of guests enjoying everything about this after-hours party. I could not, like, I am not a huge Disney Channel person. Like, I didn't really grow up with the Disney Channel that much, at least not these things that were celebrated here. But my goodness, it looked fun.
You enjoyed a lot of the IPs that were represented, like High School Musical and those things.
And a couple things I started to watch. Like, I started to watch, like, the zombie thing, but I never got through it quite yet. But I'll tell you, when they described this event, it's, you know, it sounded like almost anything else. But, man... the people at this party had a blast, and there was some awesome, awesome stuff going on. I don't know. It looked like one of the funnest After Dark events.
So, do you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of Throwback Night, because we did not give Throwback Night enough credit when it was first announced.
Yep.
And then when we saw what people got to do and experience, we're like, what? You know, so this to me was like this year's Throwback Night.
Sure.
It was... the one that people, like the masses, perhaps were not as excited about or weren't like, it didn't sell out instantly, you know, that sort of thing. But as soon as people saw it, I think a lot of people were like, wait a minute. I had so much fun. I watched Fresh Bake's episode show or video, that's what I'm trying to say, on it. And it was just so funny because I don't know, it was kind of like... for millennials, this was like the nostalgic night for millennials, because that's really the group
nostalgia's hot right now.
Been growing up with these Disney Channel things. Some of them were older though, because like there was like Tailspin, DuckTales, those
Darkwing Duck
was another one. And like I remember growing up with those. We didn't have cable when I grew up. Those we just watched that on like regular TV. I loved those shows, so that was what like I was excited to see. I eventually watched things like High School Musical, I think, because there was a hype. And like later down the way, I'm like, what's this High School Musical about? I didn't grow up with it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this didn't speak super loudly to me because I didn't have that nostalgia. So I thought it was interesting with Fresh Baked, because they kind of went into it also like, we don't really have the same ties to these IPs. And as soon as they walked in, they saw so many people, like you said, dressed up. And David said it was crazy. Anytime like Descendants, that was another one too. Anytime that they'd be in areas and like the music would turn on to some specific Disney Channel show, movie, whatever. He's like, it was wild. Everybody knew every single word. And he's like, I've never been somewhere were everybody knew every word and was like just joyously singing along. He said it was just, he was like just having so much fun because other people were having so much fun. And yeah,
I saw the Descendants like dance party thing in front of that the looked, Rivers of America.
Yeah, that looked cool.
That looked awesome. Like I had seen the Descendants movies and the music is really great, but it was kind of like, unlike some events where it seemed like there's like stages and like things are at a certain, this seemed almost impromptu. Like we're just gonna have a show and people just lined up. I was like, oh man, it was too late, obviously. But like, I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Disney needs to do with these nights. And this is the stuff they need to focus on now. Really quick, taking a small thing that's related. Star Wars night, only one night has sold out so far, by the way. So I think Disney needs to do something with that because they added nights this week.
Or this
but
year,
only,
yeah.
yeah, only one night has sold out. And that's the one that's on the second. All the other ones are available still.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, this Disney Channel night, if they bring it back, I think they're going to add more nights to it. And if they kind of do what they did this time and like maybe add a couple more things, I want to go to the next one. This looked awesome.
Wow.
Don't you think?
I'm still like flabbergasted that Star Wars night is still available.
You know, we talked about it last year.
When we decided to do it, it was kind of a frenzy to get the tickets. So that's why I'm like, what do you mean it's not? So that'd be like finding out Oogie Boogie Bash isn't selling out this year. I'd be like, excuse, what?
What's happening? Something's going on, right? Because like the Magic Keys we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Star Wars night.
Hmm.
But
interesting.
This, what did you like? Was there something in this that you thought was, you watched the video with Fresh Break, which probably was more than what I saw on social.
So this was my takeaway from this night. And this is what we, go back and listen to it. This is what we felt we were missing when we went to Star Wars night. Now, again, granted, the weather wasn't great when we went. So some of it
could
was that.
Part of it,
but they had, it seemed like there was tons of entertainment. Lots, and like they were saying the production value for the entertainment was like stupidly high. Like
they had a parade.
This was like it was a little cavalcade, but then it like stopped and there was a pep rally that had like live singers that were doing the vocals for the music and dancers and all this, and like you said, the little dance party thing. There was the Descendants dance thing. There was another dance party, of course, in Tomorrowland because they love using that Tomorrowland stage
people
for dance parties.
People went nuts at that one, too.
Yeah. And they tons and tons of characters. So it seemed to me like there was a lot of entertainment. So if characters weren't your thing, you didn't feel like that was what you had to focus on because it wasn't the only thing being offered were the character meet and greets. They also had a good blend of stand and wait in line character meet and greets versus kind of drive-by character meet and greets. They had Scrooge McDuck, Huey, Dewey, and Louie were in Toontown, but they were around the fountain and they were just kind of moving in a circle around the fountain, and then you didn't actually get to go like stand next to them. It was kind of back during when we were being socially distant with character meet and greets, where it was kind of more like selfies. You couldn't go hug them, but then they were able to kind of work the crowd. So people
were able
to get...
I think Kim Possible and her like friend were like that too.
Kim Possible and Ron were just, cause they were kind of wandering around Adventureland. It looked like, but it looked like a really pleasant experience. The only crazy line that I saw from that video, which mind you is just one person's viewpoint of the night, was the at the entrance you could take, they have like these big glow sticks that look like wands, and if you watch the Disney Channel, they're kind of, I don't know, intro back into the show, was you'd have some sort of celebrities that would draw with their magic wand the ears, like the silhouette of the Mickey ears. So they had a big light up thing, and it was cool because it would light up so you could make it look like you were drawing
it.
I
thought that was so cool.
So that, of course, was a very, 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 very popular photo spot. They probably should have had two of those.
What I thought, though, when I saw that was usually... these things are like cardboard cutouts.
Yeah.
This was like lit up and I was like, that is brilliant.
It was really cool. So that was the only one that I saw that it looked like had an insane weight.
I think if they do this again, they'll have a second or third one.
Yeah, I think so too. But other than that, it didn't look like weights were too crazy if you wanted to do other photo ops or character meet and greets. I'm going to say this, compared to what we were what we experienced for Star Wars night. So
do you think Star Wars night they should try to get more characters just roaming about and less like stand in line photo op kind of thing?
Or if you're going to have stand in line photo op things, I think you need more.
Sure.
Because then there's not going to be a bazillion people at just a few. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of the type of shows like Star Wars night maybe should bring back like the Jedi Training Academy.
Like
allow adults to take
Yeah. I think this year they've got something like that. There's some sort of lightsaber training that's backed by Small World, but not again.
This Disney Show night.
From people. So
it just looked like so much fun.
So Bethany from Concierge went and documented her visit and her thoughts. She said, so she, we'll say this. Oogie Boogie Bash is in a class of its own, which is fair because it is its own cool, amazing, special Beast. Thing. So she's, aside from Oogie Boogie Bash, this was her number one after dark event that she's attended.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's saying something. She's also a local too, so it's not like she's like us and we've only done one.
yeah.
But yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Huh. Well, I think if they have another one of these, people should go, apparently. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Oh, no, this is my takeaway. The one that sounds the least exciting is probably the coolest. Because we now twice, 2 years in a row. Three times we've done this. Sweethearts Night, we're kind of like, I don't know, maybe. But it looks super cool. And then same thing with Throwback Night. And now Disney Channel Night, where it was kind of like, I mean, I guess.
The only one that was kind of a dud was the grad night, like alumni thing. We all were kind of not excited and it ended up not being that exciting. Like, that was the only, like, dud.
But I did hear people that had done, like, grad night when they were graduating high school had the nostalgia and thought it was really cool. So there's that too. Well, Walt Disney Imagineering is getting new leadership. Barbara Boozer, the current president of Walt Disney Imagineering, announced her departure this week. Taking her place at the helm will be Bruce Vaughn, who returned to Imagineering recently and was responsible for the new Fantasyland and Magic Kingdom, Pandora, Cars Land, and Buena Vista Street, just to name a few.
So I saw a related article from when Bruce Vaughn came back.
Yeah.
Talking about how this was a good thing for Imagineering because he had done so many of these great things previously. And some people said, if you read between the lines of Barbara Boozer's like Instagram post where she announced that she was leaving, it seems like Bob Iger has done what he wanted, which is he wants creatives back in control of things. Mm-hmm. And she was brought in as an engineer to try to do things that way. And they're getting more back to creative. So she saw, okay, like, this is not really my specialty. I'm going to move over and let Bruce Vaughn kind of take over. And so with the fact that they've got this $60 billion in the next 10 years they want to spend, it seems like we're really positioned for some good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just really excited. I do think this was intentional. I think it was very intentional to bring Bruce back when he came back. And I think it, you know, her exiting at this point also is what's, you know, I'm sure there was a much bigger picture and we're just seeing what they want us to, you know, they're just seeing it play out how they would like for it to look. But I think it's a good thing. I think in general, I don't know ill will to Barbara at all.
No.
I think everything that happened when she was at the helm, it was also a very difficult time because she was in charge of Imagineering when it was announced that Imagineering would be moving to Florida. And then, oh no, wait, we're not moving to Florida. So I don't envy her at all. I think she had a very probably turbulent time.
But when Disneyland she was Forward also came out during that time. So.
But Disneyland, there was, she had highs and lows for sure. So we wish her the best. We're excited to see what Imagineering does in the future, especially since we've got all these really exciting, fun projects ahead of us, especially with Disneyland Forward. But yeah, I'm excited that Bruce Vaughn is kind of back and in charge because, again, we just listed amazing, creative, beautiful things that he helped that have, I mean, Cars Land, like that's an IP, like we were just saying how we didn't like IP things. There's a couple of IPs you can get away with doing these things. Cars Land was kind of one of them.
Well, and what's funny about Cars Land for me is like, I'm not really a big Cars movie fan. Like, it's not something that like I want to watch a bunch of times, but the land is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like Pandora. Like, I liked Avatar. It's not like my favorite movie ever, but it was a good movie. So my initial thought of a whole land, it was like, are you okay? Really? Yeah. Especially so late after the movie had come out. But it's a great space to be in.
Very immersive, yes.
Well, fans of Tortilla Joe's in Downtown Disney have been given more time to say goodbye to this longtime venue. April 7th is now the new closing date for the location, which was originally set to close at the end of March.
Well, and I think it was extended even before then, because I thought it was maybe mid-March that they were closing. Then it got extended to the end. Now we're extended.
They should just leave it open.
At this rate, Tag, perhaps we will get to have Tortilla Joe's one last time, and it will still be open when we're
maybe
there late April. But this is interesting to me because This, I mean, it might sound like it's a little thing to just kind of keep pushing this closing date out, but think of all the people that work at Tortilla Joe's that are kind of being pushed
down. I think a lot of them
down.
Are moving to the new things that are still under construction. And my guess is that construction is a little behind.
Sure. That's maybe a good way to look at
it. Because you don't want to close another dining location before those dining locations are open.
Sure.
Because they're going to be closing Earl soon to move into
to transfer
into the
shift trailer.
Mm-hmm. But I was happy to see that. I think it was on Mice Chat. They said that they had talked to some people who worked at Earl who said that, yes, it's going to suck to be in a trailer, but they're very excited for their 2-story new location when it gets done. So
they know it's temporary.
Yeah. Tortilla Joe's, though, you know what I'm most sad about is the little walk-up place. We tried that the last time we were there, and I was like, that was
taqueria.
So good.
Yeah. There's going to be the new walk-up, though, so.
Except for you getting charged extra for stuff.
Yeah, I got charged really oddly, but that's okay. That's okay. So this, I don't know why, but this is my favorite. Okay, maybe I shouldn't pick favorites, but this was the, like, out of nowhere, wow, news story for me this week. The first of the new turnstiles coming to the resort have been installed. The new entrance turnstile features a Magic Band Plus reader, screen with camera, and clear gates that will open to allow guests' entrance once scanned in. The new system should allow guests to scan in themselves with cast members present to help if needed. The new turnstiles are also much wider, which will allow wheelchairs and strollers access in the same place as guests, not having that separate gate thing in the middle, which makes so much sense.
Now, I experienced something similar to this in Paris, and I thought it was great. Of course, they had cast members standing on the other side of the turnstile to help you if needed.
Yeah.
But you would just walk up with, over there, they had a lot of like paper barcode, like QR code things, and you would just scan it. You'd look at the camera, it would like take the photo of you, it would show you on the screen, and then the little gate would just open, kind of like if you were getting on like a subway or something, like you go to like, you know, the things just open and you go through. And it was slick. It was really slick.
So now question, just because I don't know. So right when we have our magic bands, our photos are attached to it, I'm assuming, our magic bands. When we have our magic keys, your photo is attached to it. Your photo is also taken and attached to like your ticket, your day tickets too. I always assumed that that was so people weren't sharing those things.
Well, that's why
so
you still have the cast member there, and there's a screen for them to look at.
Okay.
So my guess
still,
is they're scanning back
they're
and forth.
They're still scanning and verifying. Okay, because that's what I was
or
like,
spot checking, maybe.
How are they doing that now? But that makes sense. I wasn't sure if maybe the camera, this was cool.
Could be like scanning it too,
Yeah, this is cool. When we got off, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but when we got off the cruise ship, when we were going back through security, instead of like having to get our passports out and like show our ID, they had a facial recognition scanner thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe these are fancy
they could be.
Cameras and doing kind of like a recognition thing. And if it flags on a, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested. I do think it's going to be way smoother having guests be able to take their own pictures.
Yeah.
Because that seems to always kind of be a little bit of a, and it's not like it takes that long.
Sure.
But if you get a, you know, if you have a whole family. Well,
and the cast members on their devices, it seems like they have to go into a different thing and they got to line it up. This will just be kind of there.
Boop, boop. Yep, done.
The other thing I'm excited about was I was concerned, I mean, they described this before, so maybe I wasn't that concerned, but something I don't know why. There's just something about it that just doesn't seem good. At Disney World, where they have the little things where you scan in and they have a cast member, but it's kind of like an open area.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do people not sneak in frequently there?
Oh,
and there's even been YouTube videos of people when the cast member is distracted, just walk on through because there's no barrier.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that Disney decided ever to do that because it makes so much more sense to me. Allow the guests to do their own thing, like they're going to allow it Disneyland, but have that barrier that only opens to let the people through if it's successful. Because I've, like I said, I've seen videos where a cast member's helping someone scan or something's not working right, and somebody just goes, whoop.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems like Disney would care about that. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad that we're getting like this, and I love the idea of it looking futuristic. For some reason, glass, things like that feel futuristic to me, and I like that idea. Also, the fact that a cast member doesn't have to, like, hold on, let me open the gate for the stroller or the wheelchair.
And it's usually, like, they have to get off of their seat, which is fine, you know, and, like, kind of get out of their space to then go back around. And it's not, like, it's not quick. So this should help expedite getting in the parks.
I do hope. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope they bring back, bring, woohoo. because I love
maybe,
that.
You don't know. Maybe we haven't. They are not live yet. They've just, some of them have been installed. Guests are not using them yet. So perhaps there's still hope. We don't know if there's a sound and what that sound is.
That'd be so cool, though. You were excited about the last story. You're going to think I'm
gonna
ridiculous
be, no,
about
I
this story.
I knew you were going to be so excited about this when I saw it. I'm like, tag's going
to
flip.
They just need to do it the other side now. Say goodbye to the ugly green security tents at the west end of Downtown Disney. Soon, a new security portal will open behind Din Tai Fung, allowing better entry to the new Parkside Market set to open in the future. The new portal will be themed and permanent, unlike the tents that have always seemed temporary.
I knew. I just knew that this was going to be super exciting for you. This seemed to kind of come out of nowhere because everything we had been seen news. I mean, everyone's obviously speculating. Nobody knows for sure, but everyone was thinking that was another like shade structure that they were like, everyone saw the structure they were building, but just assumed, oh, it's going to be additional outdoor seating or a shade structure. What? Nobody thought it was going to be a security thing, but it makes sense because now you're funneling people through the brand new Parkside Market area. If you're coming in on that side, you can easily grab a snack or coffee or beverage or, you know, whatever. You can easily grab through as you're going. I'm the most excited to see what kind of security are we going to have. Are we going to have those scanner things?
So.
Are we going to still have it where the poor cast members have to kind of dig through all of your stuff? I feel like we're going to get the scanners that Walt Disney World has that all you just simply walk through.
And
if
they
need
anything,
they'll pull you off to the side. And it's just a much smoother experience.
I think you need less security cast members to run that. I think it's way more convenient for people. You want people to come to Downtown Disney to shop, to do all of this, even if you're not going to the theme parks.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, it's kind of a pain right now. And so if you could have something like that, I think it'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I was going to say that. You beat me to it. We're good to go.
I'm excited. Well, it's that time again. We are hosting our public live stream this Sunday. Please join us on our YouTube channel at 5:30 p.m. Disneyland time.
Do we have an idea what we're going to talk about?
Not yet. I think we could talk about a whole number of things. If anyone's interested, we're going to be talking about this today in the discussion topic. If anyone's interested in talking anything cruise related, I have been on a Disney cruise. I have now been on a different cruise lines cruise. Tag has been on multiple all non-Disney cruises, but has his first Disney cruise booked. If you guys have any questions about that, if that's something you want to talk about, we would be happy to talk about that. Otherwise, I mean, there's plenty Disney things that we can talk about for sure. It might be more of an open forum, but again, our public live stream is this Sunday, which just happens to be March 17th, aka St. Patrick's Day. We're going to have to wear some green so we don't get pinched at 5:30 p.m. Disneyland time.
We have to get the snacks for Tag and Teresa and James and Fern and Cinderella. Time for Snack Chat.
Well, this week for Snack Chat, no big foodie guide, but we're going to continue on our tour of different dining establishments. We previously talked about the Carnation Cafe, so we're just going to continue up Main Street a little ways, and we're going to talk about, did we ever talk about the Refreshment Corner?
We did.
Okay, I thought so. And we're going to talk about the Jolly Holiday Bakery Cafe and what that has done. I actually read, we're not going to talk about the history today, but I did do a little bit of research today. I looked at the history through Yesterland, and I did not realize that for years, since the park opened, it was the Plaza Pavilion. Mm-hmm. And it was a food location. And then for like 12 or 14 years, what?
Nope. The Plaza Pavilion was used to process Disneyland passes.
That was later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was a food location. Then it was closed for a long time. And then they used it for processing annual passes. And then finally in like 2012, it closed and they renovated it to be the Jolly Holiday, which is themed to Mary Poppins. Oh. I remember going there and getting my photo taken for my annual pass because, I mean, it was a good use for
you
that.
Know,
but
I could, I'm glad you know, it's a food I could place. See that. I was never inside of it when it was the pavilion. There's also a Disney Vacation Club booth inside. I never was there for that.
Yeah.
But I guess I could see it. Anyways, the thing that is the coolest thing about the Jolly Holiday Bakery, I think, is its theming.
Yes.
I love there are stained glass penguin waiters inside. There are tiny, like if you're looking in the queue when you're waiting to get your usually sweets, because they're definitely bakery first there. That's where you get all the fun. They've got, I mean, you want some sort of specialty holiday thing that's on a foodie guide, it's sweet. It's probably at the Jolly Holiday. But they've got also, there's all sorts of like, there's little like, I don't even know. There's so many little nods. It's not over the top, like in your face, Mary Poppins.
Sure.
But it's definitely Mary Poppins. Last time I was in there was a little, it looked like a ceramic small carousel. But if you took a good look at it, the horses on the carousel were Bert and Mary's horses. Like the details are just, yeah, I don't know. I just think they're so cool. If I could, I would just be a weirdo and kind of spend time looking at all the different like things that they've included that are little nods back.
Have you seen this before?
To Mary Poppins.
It's like this little mural tree and it has the name of all of the songs.
Yeah, you see, like there's my little, nope, that's Mary Poppins on her carousel horse. Where's the carousel?
Those little birds.
Yeah, the details are just,
this is the chalk painting,
yeah,
isn't it?
The chalk painting, but it's a mosaic on the floor. We've got chimney sweeps. It's just cool. Anyways.
And the weather vane has Mary Poppins on top.
The weather vane has Mary Poppins. It's just a really cool location. We'll talk real quickly. So if you haven't been, you need to go in just to see the Imagineering's work with all the details and layers in here.
I also want to say two quick things. Is one, it's a great place to sit and people watch.
Yes.
Especially like in the morning.
Yes.
But also, I have had the best luck of anywhere in the resort for mobile order here.
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like they've done a really good job.
The one, so yeah, when you, like, as he means like smooth process.
Yeah.
You say, I'm here. Not that much longer later, they buzz you and say, okay, it's ready. And then zip, zip.
They are
done.
Efficient.
Yeah. Where sometimes you say, I'm here. And then they're still getting everything together. So, nope, I agree. It's very smooth for mobile order. One thing, though, since we're on the topic of mobile order, is they do have a lot of specialty desserts and things that are like the coveted gingerbread, Mickey gingerbread cookies you can get at the Jolly Holiday. So mobile order is not always the best way to go because it might show something as sold out on mobile order. But if you were to wait in the queue, we'll say standby, I guess. If you were to wait in line, you still may be able to get those things. So mobile order here is kind of a double-edged sword.
Sure.
It's great. It's quick and efficient. Sometimes you can get those more hard-to-find items or those very popular items that sell out quick. But other times you look at the mobile order thing, you're like, oh, they don't have anything that I wanted anymore. So it's
tough. Peek in, because you can see the display case a lot.
The other thing, too, is if it's something that you're interested in, just put your mobile order in early in the day. Even if it's something that you don't want to pick up until the afternoon or evening, you can go ahead and already create your mobile order in the morning for like say 4 p.m.
Sure.
You're not locked into, oh, I'm mobile ordering it now, I have to get it within the next hour sort of thing. So some of the desserts, we're just going to talk about things that are always on the menu because they do have a big selection of seasonal things that kind of swap out. It is a quick service restaurant and it is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which not as many places are open for breakfast, so that is good to note. But let's just talk about some breakfast stuff. They've got some really basic stuff. Yogurt parfaits, egg bacon croissants, bacon and egg croissant with fruit. I think we can get just plain croissants there. Cold brews. They've got a chimney sweep cold brew, coffees, teas, hot cocos, all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Always, you can get their desserts. They have things like a Mickey-shaped cookie, cinnamon rolls, a double chocolate chip muffin, milk chocolate croissant, like you said, a chocolate chip cookie. One of the key items that they have there is the Matterhorn Macaroon, rune, not a ron. It's in the shape, it's made out of coconut. It looks like the Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. Very good. The price has gone up a little bit since we had it, because originally it was a great deal. It was like two something, and now it's
$5. It was like $1.99 or $2.99 when we first started getting it, but yeah, now it's $4.99.
But I have
something else you can get all day.
Yeah.
The Jolly Holiday combo.
I was just going to say that's my favorite thing.
I have had that for breakfast on more than one occasion.
What is the Jolly Holiday combo?
Well, the Jolly Holiday combo, since you asked, is a toasted cheese sandwich. So a grilled cheese sandwich, but it's like a fancy grilled cheese sandwich. It's like thick, toasty,
really cheesy,
delicious bread. The cheese, like when you get it, it like pulls apart. Oh, it's stringy, it's delicious, with a tomato basil soup. And the best thing to do, of course, is you gotta dunk your toasted cheese sandwich, also known as a grilled cheese sandwich, into your soup. So good.
This is one of my favorite things at Disneyland, for sure. Other sandwiches you can get are things like a tuna sandwich, a roast beef and cheddar on a hoagie roll. They have, during lunch and dinner only, the beef birra toasted cheese.
You know what?
I think that's on their normal menu.
It's now a permanent part of their menu that used to only be a seasonal offering. That is also amazingly delicious. That. It's so good.
You can do a smoked turkey on ciabatta and toasted cheese.
I have also had salads from there. The cranberry pecan salad, also highly recommend, very delicious.
You could also get a breadstick.
Or you could, yes, you can.
I didn't even know that.
You can get a breadstick.
They do house-made chips. Mm-hmm. They have a kid's meal stuff. Of course, like Teresa said, they've got things like cold brews and whatnot.
Yeah, but they also have like cafe lattes, iced mochas. So this is another good place to stop because, let's face it, Market House can be crazy. That line can be super, super long. So I always like to kind of take note as to where else in the park can I get caffeine and coffee from. And if you're not into the different types of cold brews, Jolly Holiday is a great place to go just to get, you know, your iced mocha or a latte or a cappuccino or just an espresso.
They also have a very large selection of gluten and wheat allergy friendly, egg allergy friendly, shellfish allergy friendly, milk,
lots of
peanut,
allergy friendly.
Lots of allergy friendly stuff. And what's great is I don't think we've ever, have you ever had trouble finding a place to
sometimes
eat?
Sometimes you need to hover a little bit. So
but
sometimes,
not that bad.
Because there are people that do know that it's a great place to just hang out and people watch. Because you're right at the end of Main Street. You're a little bit elevated. It's a good place to do things like watch parades or watch fireworks from. Because it's just, you still have a good view of those things while being able to kind of have space and sit. So I will say on occasion, it can be difficult. Or if it's a super sunny day, trying to find a spot in the shade might be a challenge as well. But usually it's not too bad. Between the seating at Jolly Holiday and then the little seating between Jolly Holiday and Refreshment Corner, you're usually able to find something.
Yeah. Go check it out I think our verdict. It is a great, it is definitely up there on our list of places to get food in the park.
I mean, maybe as we continue traveling around the park with Snack Chat, maybe there's like one or two places that will be like, you can skip that. But I mean, quite honestly, try it all out if you haven't.
When we're there next, you know what we need to try? I mean, maybe you actually ate there, but I feel like I haven't been there in years. Okay. So I feel like I need to do it. Is in New Orleans Square, we need to eat it. What's the one that's not Tiana's now? It's the other one.
Oh, the Cafe Orleans.
Cafe Orleans. Mm-hmm. I have not eaten there in like 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like maybe we need to try something there because I have not eaten there in a long time.
We still have to try. We still have to try Tiana's Palace, too.
Since we're still in Snack Chat, I do want to mention one quick thing about I never would have thought about this. David from Fresh Baked in his construction update this week was talking about how Harbor Galley doesn't have clam chowder right now. And he explained that they make the clam chowder in the same kitchen as like Tiana's food comes from.
Sure.
What the problem is right now is they make it over there and they would cart it over.
But they can't
go down the stairs right now.
Yeah.
So that's why they don't have clam chowder right now. And I was like, I never would have thought that was the reason.
I would have thought it was because they're too busy making cookies.
Which we also have to try when we're there.
Too funny.
All right.
Well, in episode 222, we spoke with our friends Debbie and Steve at Designer Park Company about their rope drop bag. And since then, there's a whole collection of bags and different accessories to kind of brighten and help your park visit. Well, if you've been wanting to get one of these park goer bags for yourself, you can use our promo code DLWeekly to get 10% off your purchase at designerparkco.com. I do have to say, I just took one of the newest bags, the Park View, to Epcot with me I didn't take it with when I went to Disney Springs. We were only there for a couple hours, but I did spend the day with it in Epcot and I am a fan. So it is a backpack, but it's also a crossbody. It converts between the two, which I wasn't sure how much I would be using it as a crossbody because I just liked the thought of it being a more slender version of the backpack. Still has the great pocket that you can put your pins on, still has the area that you can hook your ears to. The main compartment of it's just a little more slender.
Do they do the hydration kit through
there? The hydration kit is still part of it too. So it's still got all the bells and whistles, except just a little bit thinner, so you can't get quite as much, but that's perfect for me. But yeah, the big thing is you can convert it to a crossbody from a backpack. Again, wasn't sure how often I would be doing that. It was great. I did it more often than I thought I was going to be. Either if it was maybe like a tighter situation where I felt like my backpack was intruding into other space, it was nice to be able to have the option to kind of flip it and like have the bag in front of me and not taking up space, whatever. Or if like I needed to get at something while we were walking, or if maybe my shoulders were just sore from having a backpack on and I just wanted to shift, you know, how things were going, it was great. The other thing too is it was a hotter day. So if my back was getting too hot from like the backpack resting up against it and my back needed to breathe, that was another great reason to flip it over to have it as a crossbody. So anyways, can't recommend it enough. Steve and Debbie are great, wonderful people. Go check them out, designerparkco.com.
And make sure that you use promo code DLWeekly to get 10% off, I think it was.
Yes, 10% off.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a grand circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All Weekly Tiers Board.
Well, hello, welcome to Trivia Land. How's it going?
We did pretty okay last week, so hopefully.
Last week was a whirlwind trivia week, so we'll see how this goes.
Let's be honest. Last week, you all amazed with that last question from Zeke.
I mean, that's a pretty big thing coming from you since we forgot Space Mountain.
Yes.
I am blocking that part out of my memory.
You didn't block us from Trivia Land this week, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
You didn't revoke our magic keys to Trivia Land.
Everyone is welcome to Trivia Land.
No reservations left.
Yeah. Darn, every time you try to get a reservation, it's just full. Yeah, I can see there's nobody there. Nope, it's full.
You got to get in at the right time and start like frantically tapping on the app to get a boarding group. And
refresh, refresh, refresh.
Exactly. Oh, no. It's much more fun with more people in Trivia Land. So hopefully you listeners at home will play along as they try to gather the four questions that I have organized for you all.
Uh-oh. Is there a costume one or where am I?
We will wait and find out. Now there's going to be both.
Let me quickly rewrite these questions.
Yep.
We'll see. The first one, though, my question for you is, Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue is one of the attractions in the resort that takes advantage of the Smellitzers, you know, those scent pumping machines. One of the most notable is during the sushi date. Can you tell me what smell do guests experience?
For some reason, I remember the bathroom as having a smell, like the gym locker room.
The aftershavey smell.
What?
Is it soy sauce? I'm going to say
it's
soy
something.
Sauce.
Yeah, it could be soy sauce. I'll go with you on soy sauce.
I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, but that's okay.
I mean, thematically, it works, right?
So I think they need a sushi restaurant, though, themed to Monsters, Inc.
We don't get me started. They had such an opportunity to have Harryhausen's in the Pixar Place Hotel. Come on, how cool would that have been?
That would be
somebody wasn't
darn
thinking.
Cool.
Missed opportunity.
Too obvious, maybe. Who knows? All right, moving on. Our second question. The gas lamps along Main Street are authentic. From like 19th century, or at least they were when the park opened. From what city did Oscar-winning designer, and this is a name that I'm probably going to get wrong, Emile Coury buy most of them from?
I'll let you go first. Something came to mind.
Well, the first thing that came to mind, I don't think maybe is the right thing, because I thought it was from like somewhere like in Ohio or something, but I don't think that's right. I think it came from, but it might have. The other thing I'm thinking of, and I'm probably getting all my wires crossed, is maybe like Los Angeles or something. Like, but I don't think that's right. I think it came from some Midwestern place and not from California.
I don't know why, but Baltimore was what came to my mind. I have no idea if that's right or not, but that was my gut, so I'm going with it.
I think it came from somewhere in Iowa.
Somewhere in Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah,
sure.
All right.
I don't feel good about this.
Small town somewhere in Iowa.
Yep. Question number three. I'm going to make you work a little bit for this one.
We're not alphabetizing everything like last week, are we?
I've got the song Good Morning Baltimore stuck in my head now.
Oh, good job.
When e-tickets first came out, there were 11 attractions that were given that designation.
Oh.
You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, so
name them.
The Submarine Voyage was one because it had an e-ticket. Matterhorn Bobsleds was an e-ticket. Because it was 1959. So you're saying in 1959 there was 11?
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. There wasn't that many attractions in 1959.
Wow.
They had higher status.
I guess. Okay, what else was around in
1959? Gosh. Fantasyland attractions. I don't think
any of those had e-tickets, though, were 59? They?
59?
Yeah.
No.
Was the monorail a D or an E-ticket?
We're going to say E-ticket because we need 11 of them.
Sure.
You're welcome.
The Haunted Mansion wasn't there yet. Pirates wasn't there yet. Jungle Cruise? Was that an E-ticket? Put me down for Jungle Cruise.
This is boggling my brain right now.
Jungle Cruise.
The train? What was the train?
The train has always been like a D ticket.
What were A-tickets? Like, I don't even know what A-tickets were.
A-tickets were like Main Street vehicles and stuff.
Okay. Do you think like Alice and Peter Pan would have been E's?
Peter Pan might have been an E.
I'm going to say Alice and Peter Pan.
It's a Small World wasn't there. Was it the Pack Mules? Was that like an E-ticket?
Rainbow Ridge.
Rainbow Ridge? Yeah, Rainbow Ridge maybe.
Is that what it's... No, Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland.
Yeah.
Mine Train. Pack Mules? Sure.
What was in Tomorrowland in 1959?
Those were like walking.
Was the Skyway?
Things.
The Skyway wasn't.
Skyway buckets. I'm going to say
buckets.
You think
Skyway?
Yeah. People Mover?
People Mover wasn't until the 60s.
Okay, then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Hey, we only need two more. 9. Snow White Scary Adventures.
I don't know. What else was over in the west side of the park?
All Autopia. The stuff we do.
Autopia was not an e-ticket.
It was like, what was the Adventure Through Inner Space?
I don't think that was there in 1959.
I don't know. I'm putting it down.
I don't think that was 59.
What was this? There was a circle vision-y thing that was over there.
Mission to Mars, maybe? I think that was an opening day thing. Because they replaced...
I don't know.
They replaced the view liner with the monorail, so the monorail would have been a thing. Of course, there was the Matterhorn and the subs. We had the subs, right? Yeah.
Yep, we got the subs. I think it was a lot of walkthrough. You've got like the house of the Monsanto house.
I think that was in the 60s, too. There just wasn't a lot there that was that exciting in the first 5 years.
Wasn't there there was like
James, are we anywhere close?
There was like a walkthrough.
You're not doing too bad, actually. Okay. You're not doing too bad.
Are we keeping Adventure Through Inner Space for number 11?
Let's just keep it. I don't know when it showed up, but I don't think it was that early, but I could be wrong. There was Tom Sawyer Island, maybe, but that's not an e-ticket.
That's not an e-ticket.
Mark Twain.
I don't think that'd be an e-ticket either.
Mark Twain was an e-ticket.
I'm just going to go with this. I think with Snow White and Adventure Through Inner Space, we're at 11.
All right. That's that list. Now I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
It's kind of four questions.
I've got one more question. Well, it's really four.
Okay. You know, they'll be quick because this week is Pi Day. On Thursday of the week of this recording, March 14th.
3.14,
so
yep.
I want to know how much you know or remember about pi at the park.
Not much.
So I'm going to tell you four pies that have been or are at the park.
Oh, gosh.
And I want you to tell me where someone could buy them.
Okay.
The Jolly Holiday.
First.
Let's just start.
The lemon chiffon pie that came out for the Disney 100 celebration.
I think I was right. The Jolly Holiday Bakery.
Is that Jolly Holiday? Okay.
And I think you get it at Hungry Bear, too.
Okay. Next.
Number two, the key lime pie that came out to celebrate a certain TV show.
I'm going to also say Jolly Holiday.
A certain TV show? What was the TV show, I wonder?
I don't care.
I don't think it's going to be Jolly Holiday. I think it's going to be somewhere else. I'm going to say Plaza Inn for that, because that's the other place that has, like, fun desserts sometimes. And it's been around longer.
Plaza Inn, lovely.
Okay.
All right. Number three. Back in the summer of 2022, there was a series of hand pies released. First one I want to see if you remember is the raspberry hand pie.
Now, I'm going to say this one was over at Trolley Treats.
Nope, blueberries at Trolley Treats.
Oh, because did they have them in different places?
They had them in different places.
So was this at the Candy Palace on Main Street?
Blueberry is at Trolley Treats. There was a guava one that was in downtown Disney.
Bing the fact that you remember this.
Aren't you proud of me? Bing Bongs.
Which one are we looking for? Raspberry?
Raspberry. Bing Bongs had one.
I will tell you now, number four, I want to know in the same time frame, the lemon hand pie as well. So
I don't know where the lemon hand pie is. I'm going to say Candy Palace for the raspberry one. Because where else sold hand pies in Disneyland?
I think Pooh's Corner also sold them.
I'll put Pooh's Corner for the lemon one. Put me down for Candy Palace for the one and Pooh's Corner for the other one. While you think about where you want to put them. By the way, for anybody who is not, I know it's not Snack Chat anymore, but anybody who has not had the hand pies there, they are amazing.
I think I'm going to say Bing Bongs.
For which one?
I guess raspberry.
Okay.
And then for the lemon
and
hand pie?
Lemon, maybe I'll put that one at Candy Palace.
We are not in agreement on all of this. This is
this is fun.
We named the location for sure, because I think those are the only three locations
left. It's just connecting
left. If we got them in the right spots for the right things.
Sure.
Because I know all three of those had it, and I don't remember which ones they had.
Sure.
There was also a strawberry one somewhere.
Anyway.
Maybe those, the strawberry ones.
Don't give James any more ideas.
Those hand pies looking like Pop-Tarts and like with the color
have
and everything.
Have you had the blueberry one?
I haven't.
Okay, next trip.
Have you had any of them?
Next trip.
Blueberry is my least favorite berry.
Oh, but
it was a good hand pie.
It is so good.
Okay, I'll take you up for it. But I saw those and I'm like, those should have been like heavily promoted for 90s night, because that just screamed 90s memory for me.
I don't know like why and how those hand pies are not more of a like why they're not like the next churro. They're so delicious.
They are very good. They're very buttery.
Mm-hmm. Very flaky.
Yeah.
Yum.
All right, well, I'm going to go figure out myself a hand pie or something, maybe, now that you're talking this up. So maybe I'll get you the answers of where I went to get all these pies and everything else after our discussion topic this week.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we wanted to kind of wrap up Teresa's recent experience. Of course, last week we talked about Teresa and Vern going to Epcot and to Disney Springs and to the character warehouse.
Yeah.
But the reason she was in Florida to begin with was that she and her family were going on a cruise. And so we're going to kind of talk about the differences, because one of the things I've always wondered, Teresa's very first cruise was a Disney cruise. So I wanted to see what she thought about the differences between a Disney cruise and now a non-Disney cruise. Now, I will say before you can say it, one of the things that you said about the cruise that you went on was you think that the ship you went on...
I think it makes a difference.
Was kind of not as good as it could have been, because your parents have been on non-Disney cruises before and they thought this was kind of
so
different.
So both of my parents, I believe, have only ever... So our cruise was on Norwegian. We were on the Norwegian Epic was the ship, which was a bigger ship than what the Magic was. The Magic, I think, only holds 2,000, 2,500 passengers, somewhere in there, whereas the Epic holds like 4,000 passengers. So it was like double the size as far as passenger capacity. So there was that going on it. So that was different for us. Same with my parents. Apparently, my parents have always done Norwegian, but the smaller Norwegian ships. But some of their observations were the same as observations that Vern and I had. So I do think there were some things that were specific to this ship and not specific to Norwegian or non-Disney cruises. So I definitely will preface that.
So the actual numbers from Wikipedia are 1,750 passengers at double occupancy or 2,713 at maximum capacity.
Holy
for the Magic.
Buckets.
And for the Norwegian Epic, the capacity was 4,100 for double occupancy.
And that's only double. That's not max.
Yeah.
So you could have more.
Quite a bit bigger.
We had four people in one room
Sure.
So that's more than the double occupancy. So anyway, so I do, and I, when we get to the areas that I think were ship specific that affected us, there's other things that that we had heard from others that were ship specific that were not things we participated in, sure, that other people on the cruise kind of had comments about. So we can talk about those too.
So let's start at the beginning. What was the, compare the boarding process for Disney versus Norwegian?
Yeah, sure. So honestly, it was a little smoother for the Norwegian boarding than it was for Disney. Now, I will kind of backpedal that in saying we boarded in New Orleans for Disney and we boarded in Port Canaveral for Norwegian.
So totally different ports.
So it could be a port specific thing.
Sure.
But yeah, we actually, when we were booking, I'm going to even back up even further. Booking, I thought, with Norwegian, the pre-cruise stuff was a little bit harder to navigate and was a little bit harder to kind of do, if that makes sense. So we had issues. My mom booked the cruise. She was trying to get everyone checked in, but for some reason she couldn't check Vern and I in, so we had to check ourselves in. Well, because we had to check ourselves in and it ended up being later, it assigned us a different boarding time than what my parents had gotten. So she called.
That's interesting.
Yep. So even though we were in the same cabin. So she called. They said, oh no, you're good to all get it to, you know, go on together. And when we got to the cruise port, we wanted to make sure we were there with plenty of time. We were also trying to beat like Uber surging and not showing up when everybody else was showing up, sort of thing. So we got there early and they were very accommodating. They did not care. Whereas Disney was like, that's awesome. You can hang out and wait over here until your designated time, which again, it was a much smaller terminal in New Orleans than it was in Port Canaveral.
Sure.
So that could have something to do with it. Cause we kind of got the feeling like, well, it's pretty slow right now. So it's not really like, it's not affecting them. If anything, they're probably thinking, hey, let's get you through now so we don't have to deal with you with the crowd of people behind you later.
Yeah.
Nice waiting area for Port Canaveral. Yeah. I don't know. Disney kind of, this was another thing too that I thought was interesting. When we got on the ship for Disney, one of the things of getting on the ship was everybody, they paused and had everybody stand and get their photos taken in front of the backdrops. That was optional for this. You could do it if you wanted. You didn't have to if you didn't want to. Disney was just kind of part of the process. So there was that. Boarding the ship, other than that, less exciting. They do not announce your name like they do on Disney, which, I mean, that's pretty dang cool and magical.
It is.
Especially when it's your first ever cruise and, like, I don't know, you just instantly feel very, like, welcomed and warmed that they, like, now, you know, welcome.
Yeah. It's part of the experience.
Family. It's very cool. You've got characters there that are waving at you and all this. This was more, like,
you're on the boat.
Yeah, you're on the boat. Felt a little chaotic because the first thing you had to do is figure out everybody had these stations or places marked on their tags, and you kind of had to follow the little things to go where the station was. Because I had cruised before, I understood what it was, and basically you just went and they scanned your tag and told you to have a good day. That was our muster drill.
Interesting.
Yeah, whereas Disney, you actually, like, they call a drill, you went out onto the deck, you had to stand in line as though you're, like, we felt like we understood what we needed to do in case of emergency, whereas Norwegian, it kind of felt more like you're checking a box. Pros and cons to that, because it was, didn't affect our cruise day at all, because it was just quick, zip, zip, go, whereas Disney, it definitely took a chunk of time out of our day. So, pros and cons.
The cruise we went on for Royal Caribbean, they had, and I think they brought this out in COVID times, but they kept it, which is you would complete the muster on a device. So you'd watch a video. They'd talk about all the different things. They would tell you at some point you need to go to the muster area you're supposed to go to. And there were people there, and you'd show them on your phone that, like, I've completed the video or whatever. They would scan your thing or whatever and check you done.
The other, yeah, you could watch the video was in your room on TV.
For Norwegian?
I did not watch it. I knew where the little lifeboat things were, and I knew where I had to go, so I understood the
general. I would have survived,
but it was not as thorough as what we experienced on Disney.
Well, Disney cares so much about the safety, you know?
Yeah. And then the next thing we did, too, was we just went and had lunch. It did take them longer to get the rooms ready, so I don't think rooms were ready until, like, 2:30, 3 o'clock.
What time did you get on?
11.
Okay.
So we did have a bit of time where we were just kind of wandering. It seemed like our room was ready faster for Disney. We got on at noon. We had lunch and then We were just like, hey, let's just go try and figure out where our room is. Well, it was already ready at that point. So there was some sort of hiccup. They made an announcement earlier that room turnovers were
slow,
delayed or slow or whatever. So that was as to be expected. We did. So we got our key cards when we checked in. With Disney, you don't get your key cards like taped to your door. Yeah. So you don't get your room key until you're ready to go to your room kind of thing. So that was a difference as well. Another kind of weird difference was luggage. When luggage arrived, it just kind of, both places, it just kind of arrives as they get it, which I don't understand. It was a group. We all turned our luggage in at the same time, but all the pieces somehow don't show up at the same time, which,
interesting.
That is what it is. That happened for, I think that happened with Disney too. Like, I think we got our main piece of luggage and there was one smaller bag we waited for a little longer for, whereas Norwegian, it was like one piece at a time was showing up. But the weird thing to me with how they did luggage there was they just randomly put everyone's luggage in the aisle or like the walkway in front of all the rooms. Disney had like your luggage. I don't remember if it was inside of our room or if it was right in front of our door.
Sure.
It's very obvious when our luggage was there. Whereas this one, we kind of had to walk up and down to try and search, which was awkward.
Oh, interesting.
Because then other people were having to kind of walk down and search. I'm sure they did
and
it
those
by...
those hallways are not very wide.
I'm sure they did it by section. Like, all the rooms in this section is somewhere here, but it wasn't obvious, if that makes sense.
That might be a ship-specific thing, because I feel like on ships that I've been on before, they put it outside your door. Like... Yeah. So that's interesting. Okay.
Well, and maybe it had something to do with the fact that getting the rooms ready was slower too. Maybe it was just a little more rushed. I'm not entirely sure.
But okay.
One thing I want to talk about, which I don't even think I told you about.
Well, yet. We haven't talked about your cruise too much because I wanted to save all of this for this.
Yeah, we purposely haven't talked about this. This isn't really cruise specific. This is a really cool thing that happened while we were sitting in port waiting to go. So while we were sitting waiting in port, there was a rocket launch and we were 6 miles away.
Oh, you mentioned this.
But I didn't tell you about it.
Yeah, okay.
We were 6 miles away from the Kennedy Space Center. So we got to see, I've never seen a rocket launch before. I thought of our listener and friend, Ace, who works
for JPL.
JPL and like knows these kinds of things. I was wildly cool. I was a nerd and I tried to take a video of it. Of course, it looks stupid, but I don't care. It was super fun. As we were sitting there waiting, there were dolphins swimming in like the water. That's in cool. front of our ship. It was, yeah. The launch was really cool. So it was, I don't know what the brand was, but it was not a NASA rocket that went up.
No, it was a SpaceX one because I think they were launching
I don't
more
remember if it was,
stuff.
Yeah, SpaceX or if it was... Anyways, but it's a rocket that they use over and over again. So as we were sitting there waiting for the rocket launch, which we lucked out, it launched. And then after the launch just happened to be when we went off. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but it was. So after the launch, well, before the launch, we're sitting there waiting and we kind of like scoped out and got our deck chairs so that we could like sit and watch the launch. There was this big, massive barge. So they shoot these rockets up and then they land them onto these barges. So that was really cool to see have a bird's eye view of what the barge looks like, go past us and then watch the launch. The thing that was wild, have you seen a rocket launch before?
Not in person, but I've seen them launch. I've seen them land too, videos of them landing.
The thing that was the craziest is like, you know, watching it, it's pretty wild, but it was like, I don't know, like it felt like it was above us. And by that time that it was above us, is when we could start hearing which it rattled the whole ship. It was, you could like feel it through. That was the coolest thing to experience. Like watching it's pretty awesome. But like,
but you feel it.
There's a feeling too. Yeah. Anyway, so
that's cool.
Off topic, but
no,
pretty cool.
That's a cool, I mean, that's a really unique experience. Cause like, how often are you going to be there when that's going on? So that's really cool. And Port Canaveral where you take off is close-ish to. So that's really cool. Okay. So we're going to try to break this into like parts. So we're not going to do like a chronological thing. So we did boarding. So let's talk about your room. What was the room's comparison?
Yeah. So this, we stayed in, I want to say they call it like a family suite. And it was the four of us all stayed in one room. It had a balcony. It was interesting. And I think, again, this was a ship specific thing because my parents also kind of commented.
Okay.
It was advertised that it was like 300 square feet, which is smaller than what the Disney room, the just standard Disney room was that Vern and I had stayed in. But we're not convinced that they didn't include the balcony in the square footage of the room because the room was tight. There was just basically a little one little walkway from the front door. There was a little bit wider at the front, but like once you hit where the actual room was, it was just kind of like a one person walkway all around. Tons of storage space. The interesting thing was the walls were not square. They were kind of like that. That's exactly what our room was. Wavy. Like it was not a square wall. Oh. So part of the room kind of like came in on itself where it could have been wider.
That's neat, but also like it was inconvenient. Space.
The bathroom was kind of, we're going to call it an open concept bathroom.
As you can see in the photos that you're looking at,
oh,
the sink is outside of the bathroom, which is great, but then you kind of had like a shower pod on the left and then a like toilet pod on the right with a privacy curtain if you like wanted extra privacy in between. So that was unique.
Okay.
And that was definitely a ship specific thing.
I would like to comment on this. So I'm looking at a photo, and if you just literally Google Norwegian Epic rooms and look at the images, you'll see this. We've been on Royal Caribbean, we've been on Carnival, we've been on Norwegian, we've never seen this. Honestly, no, I would have been like, this is weird.
Yeah, no, that was a bathroom situation.
It's like, this,
yeah, usually it's a room.
Well, you're with your family.
Yeah.
You're showering.
So we,
that's weird.
We just kind of,
that's weird,
had times of day where we would just, like, Vern and I would leave and like my parents would have the room. Which is how we handled it. So in total, the entire room from like the front door to the balcony of Norwegian was less than what, because like there was that space was what the bed to the porthole wall was for Disney, whereas you had two separate bathrooms. You had one room that was like the shower room with a sink, one room that had the toilet with the sink, and then you had a big shower. So there was just much more getting ready space and more, like you mentioned, privacy. It worked though, because honestly, we spent both cruises, we spent very little time in the room, so it wasn't as big of a deal.
I'm looking at this room. Your room looked like was looking at the front. Okay, so who had the bed, and then where was the other bed?
So Vern and I had the bed. It was a king size bed in width, not length.
Right, that's pretty typical.
Yeah, my feet were not on Disney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but my feet were. Yeah, my feet
typical on non Disney cruises.
Sure. So, and you could tell. I think it was actually like two twins that they squished
that's
together.
Normal too, yeah.
Then the thing that looks like a couch was another bed. You could kind of slid it out. And it came into the walkway further. That was another bed. And then above that was a bunk that came down from the ceiling.
Okay. And so your parents slept on the pull-out couch thing?
By choice. I'm going to just say that right now. By choice, we tried to give them and offer them the bed. But they're like, no.
By the way, this is very on brand for Teresa's parents.
Yeah. So, yes.
How was the balcony?
The balcony was nice. We had an extra big balcony because of just the position that we happened to be on the ship. So there was two chairs out there plus a lounge chair, and you could have fit more. Because it was big.
Sure.
Very, very big.
What deck were you on?
12.
So you're pretty high up.
Yep. So one thing that that was different than Disney that I was a little like, about, they allowed smoking on the balconies.
Oh, that's different. Yeah.
So we had a smoker. I don't know if it was our neighbor or where. Somebody close enough that there was a couple times that we just had the door open enjoying, you know, the sounds or the breeze. And all of a sudden there'd be cigarette smoke smell coming into our room, so we'd have to close the door. So that was different. I was not expecting that. That's not a Disney thing. I don't think there's smoking anywhere on a Disney ship. But anyways, then the other kind of weird thing in the same line with smoking, there's a casino on board, and there was smoking allowed in the casino. So I was really surprised that there was smoking allowed on the ship and also just like in the ship.
Yeah, on a lot of cruise ships that are not Disney, there's usually a casino, and that's usually the only place that smoking is allowed. It smells like an old casino. It's got that stale cigarette thing.
Yep.
On a lot of ships, I don't know, you can tell me here in a second, I don't know if it was like this on yours, but on a lot of ships we were on, you have to walk through the casino to get to various things, so it's kind of off-putting in that way.
Yep. Nope, that was the same thing here. You couldn't really, unless you're taking the elevator, you couldn't really avoid the casino.
Yeah.
They even had it so like you couldn't, like the stairs, this was interesting. They blocked the stairs off. So if you were to say, I'm going from 12 to 5, the casino I want to say was on 7.
Sure.
I couldn't just take like the main staircase all the way down.
Oh.
It forced you off of, they blocked the main staircase off. They forced you to walk through the casino. And then the staircase was then, there's an escalator in the middle of in the mid of the ship.
Okay.
To get you down to the next level. So that was, so they really kind of.
Okay.
Had you go through.
How was your cabin crew? Like, did you get cool, like, little animals and stuff like that?
So I think this is another, I do think this is a Norwegian-specific thing.
Sure.
Because my parents had commented on this. So in their view, post-COVID, they've done a couple of cruises. Again, all are Norwegian. Pre-COVID, towel animals were a thing. Post-COVID, no towel animals. No fun little things. The other thing, too, Disney, our room attendant, we saw him every day. Like, it felt like anytime we were coming and going from our room, there he was, and he was super friendly, knew our names. This guy also knew our name, but we just didn't see him that often. So I think the room attendants are in charge of a lot more rooms, and he only came by once a day.
Sure.
Whereas Disney, he came by at least, it had to have been twice a day that I noticed. Maybe it was even three times that he checked on the room each day.
Hmm.
But every day between when we would go to, because we had late dining, so we did the show and then go to dining. Every time between like when we went to the show and when we went to dining, that's when he'd come do the turn down service and have our fun towel animals on the Disney cruise. Whereas there was not turn down service the same way for Norwegian. He would just come tidy the room up for us every day. It's kind of like, think of like what you get at a hotel.
Yeah. So in most of the cruises I've been on, I won't say every cruise because I can't remember for sure, but I feel like generally, like you said on Disney, I remember seeing our attendant a lot.
Yeah.
But also, usually they come by, you get up in the morning, you go to breakfast or something, usually they come in and they make the bed or they clean up your room a little bit, whatever. And then usually, right before you go to dinner or right after you come back from dinner, they've also gone in and like set the room up for sleeping. Because a lot of times, like, they'll put the bed away if it's a couch bed and stuff. And then when you come back to like sleep, all of that's ready. And usually that's when the towel animal's there and all that. But yeah, that's interesting because usually it's at least a couple times a day.
We got the feeling that that one person just is in charge of more rooms.
That's and unfortunate that person.
I mean, it's one of those things when you think about it, though, like, it's above and beyond to have the room checked on multiple times a day. Really, like once a day is sufficient.
To be clear, you usually, when we stay at a hotel, you usually, even before COVID, were like, we don't need somebody to come and clean the room.
Someone doesn't have to come make my bed.
Yeah. But I think in my experience of being a cruise goer, I just kind of think that that's like the bar that the cruise industry
that's just part
has
of the
set.
Experience.
So it's kind of like if you went to a Disney park and they didn't have any entertainment, you'd be like, what the heck? Well, but like COVID
the
time.
The flip side of it, it seemed to be a schedule. He usually came between like 2:30, 3:30 in the afternoon. Norwegian, though, boasts having open dining. So you don't have set dining times.
Yeah.
So you can't really schedule and know for sure when someone's not going to be in the room, because it's not like, oh, their dining time's at 6 p.m. So I know they won't be in the room at 6. I know that's a good time for me to go in and do stuff. So yeah, so it's kind of like that. So
let's talk about dining.
Yeah.
What was the food like?
So the food was good. It was not.
Now, I want to say Disney is very different when it comes to dining in general, like dinners.
Yeah.
Because like Disney, like you rotate and all of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
On mobile cruise ships.
Talking like food quality.
Yeah. Okay.
So we did multiple nights at like the buffet. We did, or multiple meals, I should say, at the buffet. We did one sit down dining for breakfast one morning. Mm. No, two different sit down things for breakfast.
Because it was 7 days you were on the cruise?
7 nights, yeah. Okay. And then we did our own little rotation for dinners. So we did a couple of the two different sit down places, like the fancy dining rooms. They had two different dining rooms. We did both of those. There was kind of like a pub that was open 24 hours that we did for, I don't remember if it was lunch or dinner now. And then also they had a noodle bar and a Chinese restaurant. So we did those.
That sounds good.
Both. My favorite was the noodle bar. That was my absolute favorite. And we did that the first day. But
you didn't come back even though you liked it so much?
No, because there were so many things. So we were trying to like try everything else around. But anyways, quality of food. The noodle bar was great. That was my favorite. Quality of food for the rest of it was good. It wasn't like, every meal that I had on the Disney cruise, like my socks were blown off.
Sure.
Everything that we had was just amazing. As far as like the dinners and the sit down stuff went, amazing. The other thing that I wasn't as much of a fan of was like the Irish, the pub place, same menu all day, every day.
Oh, sure.
And then the two main dining rooms, same menu.
Really?
Except they had one little section of like five things that would rotate out each day.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. So to me, I really liked the rotation. I liked the rotation dining a lot more. Plus, I just liked not having to make that decision.
Sure.
If that makes sense. I just, we're eating at Rapunzel's table tonight. That's great. Instead of, well, what do you think? Should we go to this place or should we go to that place? Or, well, what's the theme at the buffet? And da, 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 da. We'll talk about that too. The buffet. Breakfast every morning. Same options.
Sure.
Which...
Was that different on Disney?
Yeah, Disney rotates.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of like staples, but then they had a section that would swap out every day. So it was a good variety. Plus you had the sit down places too, which were slightly, or you could do like, for us, it was one of the main dining rooms had sit down breakfast, which was different than what you could get on the buffet. Whereas this was, if you did sit down, it was the same menu. Sure.
Okay.
If you did the buffet, it was the same options. A lot of it was egg based. I'm not a big breakfast person, and I don't really like eggs. If omelet stations are your thing though, holy cow, did they have you covered? There were so many omelet stations.
Oh, really?
So many omelet stations. Yeah. And then at night they turned two of the omelet stations into crepe stations, which I wish they would have had a crepe station for the breakfast, because I would have gotten crepes for breakfast, but that's besides
on
the
cruises
point.
I've been on, I always feel like there's like one omelet station, which is always very popular, you're waiting forever because the guy's got like three little things he's making.
There was like four or five.
Well, that's good if you're in omelet
stations. Yeah. I did biscuits and gravy and bagels. That was my like go-tos. They had pancakes, but they were hidden and only in one spot, which was wild to me. So apparently pancakes
are waffles
not...
either?
Nope, no waffles. French
every cruise I've ever
French
been
toast.
On had waffles.
Yeah, no, the focus was, they were all about the omelet stations.
Interesting. So coffee, we have to talk about coffee too.
Coffee, they had a Starbucks, so there you go.
But Starbucks isn't like your favorite coffee, but
no,
it works.
No, it's not my favorite, it works.
But they have cold brews or anything? Is it just Starbucks
regular,
fare?
Just a regular Starbucks, sure. Yeah. So yeah, there was that. So I wasn't, the food was good, but it wasn't like amazing. Another one of my favorite experiences, this was a little tough. Disney doesn't have this. On this cruise, you had complimentary dining, and then you also had specialty dining.
Yeah.
Specialty dining meant you were paying some sort of price, whether if it was like you're at a restaurant and you're paying a per item price, or it was maybe like a cover, like heavy cover charge. We did teppanyaki, which was a hibachi place. That one was just like X amount per person kind of a thing. But then they also had a sushi bar, and they priced it per roll. I was okay with doing some specialty dining until I looked at what the pricing was. For example, the sushi bar, what they were charging per roll is what we pay per roll here. And for some reason, I was thinking there'd be a discount.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. So that was a little weird. We also didn't do any of the drinking packages. They had a coffee drinking package. They had an alcohol drinking package, and they had a soda drinking package. I did look into what the coffee one would be and if it would make sense. However, the thing with the drinking packages is every person in your room has to have the drinking package.
Oh.
So clearly that wasn't going to make sense. It was not going to make sense for me to get the coffee drinking package for four versus me just buying my coffees alone. So that...
I can understand that, though, because I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
When we went on our cruise last summer... I bought the soda package, but nobody else, we were in two separate rooms. We had our friends there with us too. And there was a couple times where Michelle, who was with us, wanted to have like a soda, across this like 4-day cruise or whatever. And I was like, I'm just going to go get one and I'll just give it to you. And so like, I think maybe they're trying to like cut that out because if everybody has to get it.
Right. Yeah. No, they're not
gonna
get screwed
out of it.
I totally get it, but I also wish
it kind of sucks though. Like, what happens if you are the only one?
Maybe not the alcohol. Like, or maybe you do it for all the packages. Have it just be like a punch card thing. Like, I'm just gonna prepay for 10 coffees.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter if I drink the coffee, if you drink the coffee, whoever drinks. Like, it's just you're allotted to, you paid for 10 coffees.
Yeah, Royal Caribbean had a refillable, like, mug thing they gave you, and you just went to the soda machines and filled up, and that was the thing.
Yeah, and so for those of you that don't know, Disney does not have drinking packages at all. So everybody gets soda. There's just, like, an open soda. And I want to say it was open 24/7. It was up on the pool deck.
Yeah.
You go up there whenever you wanted. If you wanted coffee, it was... an extra charge. I remember there. I thought there was kind of a discount, though. I don't remember paying coffee store pricing.
Couldn't you get like...
And they had a punch card thing. So
couldn't you get like black coffee at places,
yeah,
though?
Yeah. Yeah, you could get black coffee, you could get tea, and you could get... They called them juices, but they were kind of like... I think they were probably like vitamin water type, yeah, things, where it wasn't like juice, yeah, but it was a flavored water of some
kind. I always like the kiwi strawberry stuff they have, yep, on those things. Okay,
in the mornings,
the food
they
was...
did have like juice too.
So the food was
fine. The food was
fine.
Good. It wasn't like amazing, knock your socks off, but it wasn't like horrible either.
All right. So entertainment.
So this.
This is going to be tough because Disney entertainment's great.
Yeah. So, and it's Disney. So clearly I'm going to be interested in everything. So,
one
of
the
things that I thought was real interesting is Norwegian still did a paper daily, this is what's going on today.
Sure.
Thing.
Kind of nice if you don't want to have your phone all the time.
And they had the app. The app was not really great. It took us a while to figure it out. It was not very user friendly. So, pros and cons to the app.
You found the Disney app a lot more.
The Disney app was a lot more user-friendly. The other thing that we really enjoyed about the Disney app was Norwegian, we could only see current day. You could not see out into the future, like, is this, I don't know, trivia or class or something happening again, or do, if I want to do it, I have to do it now. Norwegian only shows you current day.
Okay.
Disney showed you multiple days, which was nice to try and plan things out. The other thing that I thought was really cool that I didn't even notice, but Vern pointed this out, Disney would say who each thing was with. So you would know who was the staff person, the cruise director, staff person leading it. So
that's actually a good thing.
That was awesome because remember how much fun we had at the adult craft that I was telling you about? We literally, every time we saw that crew member's name on some other thing, it didn't even matter if it was something we were actually interested in. We then wanted to go to the thing because we enjoyed that person
awesome.
That was leading. So I really enjoyed that. I didn't, it didn't even dawn on me that that was something that we found really like cool and useful that Disney did, but they did. The other kind of weird thing. So there were, there was trivia. There was one ice sculpture thing that we watched. There wasn't like the day-to-day stuff. There didn't, to me, didn't feel like there was a lot.
Sure.
It felt like a lot of stuff was kind of, Vern said it best. It kind of felt like we were being sold to the entire time we were there. Versus Disney, you never had anyone saying, so when are you doing your next cruise? If you do this, you can have your next cruise. Or, oh, if you do this, you can have all these credits. Or, we're going to have this trivia based on locations around the world. And then we're going to try and sell you why you should take a Norwegian cruise to go to these places. So everything kind of felt like it had this...
Like an upsell?
Like pitch to it. So that kind of...
That's unfortunate.
...graded after a while. And I don't know if that's... I feel like that maybe is a normal random cruise thing.
I did not experience that on my previous cruises. They did have stuff where you would go... They had some things that was obviously things like come to the...
Sure.
I'm just going to make up something. Come to the like Ray-Ban thing and you can talk about Ray-Ban stuff and then like we'll want you to sell you a Ray-Ban thing. Yeah. Or like the book your future cruise, but we want you to sit through kind of like a timeshare presentation almost first. But I've never had like what you're describing necessarily. That's sad.
Yeah, that was a little interesting. There were some fun like games, but a lot of the trivias were hosted by the Cruise Next staff, which was the people trying to help you book your next cruise. So that was a little.
What about the big entertainment?
The big entertainment, there was a magician. He was pretty interesting.
You said interesting.
I'm
going to
say this. I had
great.
Higher hopes for him because they have like this little preview package of all the cool things. He's been on all these shows.
Yeah.
He had like, there were rave reviews from Penn and Teller.
Oh, sure.
On him. They were showing some of his illusions and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, this guy is going to be good. Well, he was, how do I say this? He was not like the main attraction thing. So he was limited to just the space in front of the curtain.
Oh.
So I think because he had limited space, he couldn't do
all of his good illusions.
It kept feeling like, oh, we're ramping up to some big, we never got to like that big, like, whoa thing.
Okay.
So I don't put that on him.
Sure.
I put that on the situation. There was the two main big things was they had the Epic Beatles. So they had a Beatle tribute band that was
cool.
Actually really fun. They had the Cavern Club, which was like made to look like the club that the Beatles performed in back like in London. So that was kind of cool. So they had multiple performances. They had two big performances on the main stage. And then there was, what was the other? Oh, Burn the Floor was the other thing that was big. It was like this crazy ballroom dancing. It's like, think of the pros of Dancing with the Stars, and that's like it. And that was the level all of them were at. And it was crazy because, right, you're on a cruise ship. You're bobbing along in the ocean. So the things that they were doing were incredible in and of itself, but then throwing the weird, like, you can't hardly walk a straight line because you're bouncing around in the ocean factor, and it was amazing. So those two things had big sets that were that we then saw behind the curtain. So I'm thinking it wasn't a very big backstage area. Sure. So that kind of took away from him. I felt bad about that. They had two stand-up comedians. There was a dueling piano thing. There was all sorts of little bars all over the ship that had live musicians kind of scattered around. My one complaint, too, with entertainment was it seemed like it was more geared to nightlife people. Mm. So, like, entertainment really, like, especially music entertainment, seemed like it really started, like, ramping up at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'm an old fuddy-duddy, and I want to be to bed. Like, I'm going to bed. So that was a little difficult, too.
Sure.
The other thing, too, is the theater felt way too small. Oh. Like, for having 4,000 people, they did have two shows each night of the big things, but it was still really difficult to, like, you had to go early to get seats. Otherwise,
you weren't. I'm surprised seats. With as big as a ship you were on. So, like, when we were on Royal Caribbean, as an example. Now, Royal Caribbean, I think, on the ship we were on, kind of was set apart because we had the Aqua Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Which they would do, like, things into this pool, and it was spectacular on the back of the ship. Mm-hmm. And then we had the big auditorium in the front where they did cool things like the big, like, Broadway style shows and stuff. So I'm surprised that on the ship that you're talking about, that, like, it sounds like the only two, like, big Broadway if kind of things was the Beatles thing and this other thing, which is funny because usually there's some big show that's like spectacular.
They've had, like, other Norwegian ships had things like Six. So again, it may have been just a specific, like, Broadway's Six is, I don't know if you've heard of, okay. So anyways, it's a big show on Broadway, big deal that was on a cruise ship, but yeah, Six. Okay. So I think they were, the new ship that's coming out, they're going to have Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice the musical on that ship.
That could be cool.
So I think the Epic has, like, clung on to the Beatles thing, and, like, that's been their thing. So they just, and honestly, the auditorium wasn't that big.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really see a big Broadway type show. Like, what? Yeah. So anyways, different. It was different.
Okay.
But it was small. So the thing that was just really interesting about the cruise in general was I knew it was a bigger ship, but it didn't feel any bigger than what we had access to on the Magic. So, like, one thing that stood out to me was the lowest level we could go on was 5.
Oh, wow.
The lowest level we could go on for the Magic was 2. That's actually the level that our room was on, was level 2. You didn't have access to all of level 2, of course. But yeah, we had, it was 5 to 15 and then 16 and whatever was the pool, like the pool stuff.
Yeah.
So we only had access to like 10 things.
That's interesting because I feel like every ship I've been on, 10, the big ones, the smaller ones, Deck 2 was, like, as low as you can go. Because Deck 1's usually, like, their engineering and all that stuff. Yeah. And medical bay is sometimes on 2 and stuff, and rooms. But that's surprising to me. 5 whole decks of just whatever. Yeah,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So, yeah. So I think there's a lot of, like, cruise line and not cruise line. Some cruise line, but some just
specific to that ship.
Specific to that ship.
That's really interesting. That were a little interesting. So let's talk about the ship itself. Like, the ship itself. So I know Vern had some comments that you can share about the track.
Yeah. Or lack thereof. So it was deck, I want to say it was 7, was like the outdoor deck. That was where our big, I called them rescue pods because they were not lifeboats. They were like these, like, fully enclosed pod things were. So I didn't realize that we had it so good on the Magic, but we had an open air promenade, was what they called it, and it was deck, I want to say it was 3, and you could walk the entire circumference of the ship. So you could go, you could do laps, like you were, like, on a high school track, you could do laps. This, you couldn't. You could not walk all the way around the ship. The
Poor Vern,
the running track was just on one side. I don't remember if it was the port side or what side, but it was just on one side, and you just basically ran back and forth. You ran, like, to the end, turn around, go to the other end, turn around, go to the, so it was just back and forth. And the other tough thing, too, was, like I said, all of the little
lifeboats
things were there. So you couldn't even, like, see out, because you had a wall of lifeboats. There was a little section in the middle that was open that you could like see out. But small. As far as like running on it, he said it was really not fun, not enjoyable at all.
That's unfortunate.
And then the other side was where the shuffleboard was. We did go out and play shuffleboard one day. I will say it was the last day of the cruise, so I don't know if that made a difference. There was a good layer of salt on the ground. Uh-huh. So playing shuffleboard was great because you had extra like... It was extra slippery for the little shuffleboard puck thing to go down. So that was fun.
How about like the pool and all that stuff? And the hot tubs? The
pool.
And
so
stuff?
Like, I'm not a pool person. Sure. I did, this is now the second cruise that I have had a swimsuit with that I never actually ever put on. Vern went and did the slides. I do have a funny story to share about that. Vern did, they had like, I call it a toilet bowl slide. I don't know what they're actually called.
Sure.
He went down and did the toilet bowl slide.
Is that this one?
Yeah. And he got stuck. So he like went down and you're like, you know how you go around the bowl and then you're supposed to go, suck it down.
He didn't get down that.
He went around and then went just past it. And so he went around again, and went just past it, went around again, and just past it. So he finally had to kind of like push himself to go down into the little tube thing and go. It did not sound like that was he was the only person that happened to, because there was, when we were waiting for him to come, like get down, there was some other lady that got off. She's like, I got stuck in there. Just kept swirling round and round. I have no idea why that happened. Vern thought it was hilarious because on the back side of where the toilet bowl thing is was the stairs to get up to where you got onto slides. So there was some lady just standing there kind of watching people get like go down in there, and he said she was losing it because she saw him get stuck and like was trying to get himself unstuck in there. So he thought that was really funny. He's like, at least somebody got to see it. But yeah, he said it was fun. There was a climbing wall back there that he went and did.
Oh, I didn't realize you could like see into it. Okay.
Yeah, you could like, that's probably her. Oh,
I could see how he would go past that.
Yeah, that was probably about what her view was.
That's a weird design, actually.
There was a climbing wall on the backside of where the slides were, and Vern went into that. He said it was really hard. So they had like, supposedly, easy, medium, hard. It went from easy to like hard to impossible. So it was, I don't think it was a really well thought out rock climbing wall, and it was kind of small. So there, it was quite a line that had formed for that. The back of the ship was kind of their adults only area with a pool. It was unlike Disney, that adults only area on this cruise ship was more chaotic than it was peaceful. Disney, since it, right, it's geared towards families, the adult area was a more secluded, quiet place. So that was different too. The quiet adult only area was kind of not very quiet adult only. The other thing I learned too, or realized too, with Disney not, so having the drinking package, I think brings out either different people or a different side to people. I was not expecting to see intoxicated individuals trying to maneuver their way through the ship. We definitely saw that that was not the case on Disney. They had alcohol available.
Vern but you didn't have a package that you were trying to get your money's worth
out of. I think a lot of people kind of felt a little more, I don't want to say pressure to drink, but also there were times that I was standing in my Starbucks line at like 8 a.m. and there was a bar next to it, and there were people sitting there already ordering their first drinks of the day, which were not like mimosas or bloodies. Oh, no, they were. There was one guy I watched. It was, what was it? 3 shots of Fireball on ice was what he was starting his day with. So that was just, it was just a different vibe. So.
Wow.
I think Vern is fully on the, nope, I am not a cruise person. I am a Disney cruise person ship now, just because it was a different vibe all around.
If I was I told him I would tell him one more cruise Disney.
And that's what I said to him too. I said, I want to try one more, and I think I want to try specifically Royal Caribbean because a lot of the Disney people we follow, like Ordinary Adventures, you see them on either Disney ships or you see them on Royal Caribbean ships. So I said, I think Royal Caribbean's going to be somewhere between what we had for this and then what we had for, like, I think it's going to be more in the middle. So I think it'll be a better. So he needs a little time. But overall, like, I feel bad because I don't want my parents listening to this and thinking, oh, we had a great time. Yeah. These are really nitpicky things. Overall, this was a fraction of the cost of what Disney was. So, of course, you're not going to get the same level on the ship because it's just not the same, you know, it's just different. The thing that I really, really, really like about cruises, I've decided they're like a buffet for vacations. It's cool to me to be able to like stop, to have the same room. Like I don't have to worry about where I'm going to eat that day or where I'm going to spend the night. It's all kind of there, but you still get to go and explore places that maybe you're never going to see. So we got to go to their private island. That was the first day. Then we had a day at sea. We were at San Juan, Puerto Rico, which I had never been before. It was gorgeous, beautiful. St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, and then the Dominican Republic. Mm. All places that Vern and I had never gone to. So like to me, that's like why I cruise. Everything like on the ship is just like a cherry on top. And in fact, Disney kind of makes it hard to get off the ship because I really enjoy all this stuff because I can learn how to draw characters or I can have Disney specific trivia and like meet and greet with characters in their cute little like pirate costumes and stuff like that.
I feel the same way, but like different in a way, because ever since I've wanted to go on a cruise, before I went on the first cruise, first of all, a little backstory, I was a huge fan of the Titanic movie, and I could not fathom the size of one of these boats. The fact that there was this thing made by men that could float and could do stuff, and there's entire like restaurants, and it's basically a hotel. And so when we first went on our first cruise, I had told James, and I still kind of feel this way about a lot of things, is I would be happy, contrary to what you're saying, if the boat just went out into the ocean and did circles for a few days and came back. Because for me, I like the boat.
Yeah, well, and I think it depends on the boat, too.
Yeah.
Like, well, I would have been totally fine with that on the Magic.
Sure.
Like, not as much with the Epic.
But also, you and Vern like traveling to new and different places, and that's, like, enjoyable for you guys. And I'm not saying it's not enjoyable for me, because I also like traveling. Yeah. But when I think about, like, a cruise, like, I want more time places, and most times you're just there for a few hours on one day.
Yep.
And so, and then there's always the worry, like, I gotta make sure we get back on time and all of this stuff. And so for me, I like the idea of the ship better. Overall, let's say now, was your experience, how did your experience on this cruise compare to what you thought a non-Disney cruise would be like?
Honestly, I was going in with a very open mind. So I was trying not to have any preconceived notions before going on to be like, oh, well, Disney this or Disney that.
Sure.
I was trying really, really hard to go in with an open mind. Of course, we were making, like, my parents were doing the same thing. We were making comparisons just based on our past experiences. Their past experiences. Yeah, their past experiences were other Norwegian ships and other Norwegian cruises. Vern and I's past experience just happened to be on the Disney thing. So we kind of, a couple of times, Vern's like, I maybe should stop saying, like, I don't want them to feel bad, like, you know, but, and it wasn't that at all. Like, we had a super enjoyable time. My parents agreed we probably wouldn't choose to go on this specific ship ever again.
Sure.
And again, this is my parents who have been cruising with Norwegian.
Yeah.
So they kind of had the same feel. We're talking with some other passengers that also had the same feel of stuff. And I think it's just the ship, how it's set up. And there's, you know, nothing you can really do about that.
But you could say that about Disney, too, because I've seen some people in the cruise, on the Facebook cruise group or whatever that I'm in, people have said that they have been on the Wish.
Yeah.
And they don't like the Wish as much as they've liked the Magic or the Dream or whatever.
And I mean, that's the beauty of cruise ships, right?
Yeah.
Is they're different.
Yeah.
You don't want them all to be carbon copies exactly the same. So I totally get it. This is just not my favorite.
Sure.
I've only experienced two, so sadly it's at the bottom of my list of two.
Right.
But again, there's only two. I am a little nervous because the next cruise that we have our sights set on is on a bigger Disney ship. So part of me is like, was it the specific ship? Was it having that many more guests on board with us since we went with a small, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of a little...
sound to me from what you're describing that it was like too crowded of other guests. It sounds to me like there was a lot of just weird things with this ship.
It was a little too crowded with guests too, because things like eating, everything we wanted to do, we had to go early and we had to wait.
Oh, sure.
So there was always a wait. We didn't have we didn't do anything with the bars. The one time we went and got martinis, we waited in line for, it was probably like 20 plus minutes to get a martini at the martini bar. And that was what a lot of other people were saying. Like, we've never had to wait this long for at the bars. But same thing with all the dining. We had to wait for a table to get ready And sometimes it was short. Sometimes it wasn't. Like,
yeah.
But multiple times we were given pagers and like told, we'll page you when it's ready, which the nice thing was you could just kind of wander around the ship. But so that in that aspect, I think that was just because there was lots of people. Of course, there's going to be. And the fact that it was freestyle and it was open dining. So people could dine when they wanted to dine. So it wasn't kind of like spread out a little bit or controlled by a Disney. So you only had enough people dining at this time that the dining room could hold sort of thing. So
I'll tell you about our experience on the Allure of the Seas, which was the one of the largest cruise ships in the world when we went on it. There was a lot of people obviously on the ship, but it didn't feel like there was a lot of people on the ship. Like there were times like at night, for instance, and this is on every cruise ship. I'm sure Disney was this way too. As the night, well, you're an early sleeper, so maybe you don't know, but like as the night rolls on, you have less like food options. So like the buffet closes at like 11, but like the pizza place is 24 hours. So if you wanted to get food after like 11, like the show gets out or something, there was a line at the pizza place.
Because it was the one option.
But it moved quick because they knew it was the only option. And you might have to wait for a, you know, if you wanted a certain pizza, you'd have to wait for it to come out of the oven, that kind of thing. But if you just wanted whatever was there, they just, and there you go.
Sure, yeah.
So it's interesting. I am really glad that we had this conversation because you had not been on a non-Disney cruise and you spoke so highly of Disney, which I do believe that they deserve the credit that they get for being a good product, a really like high quality product. But I also knew that cruising is kind of usually a higher quality product that like has that quality. So I just was curious to talk to you and I wanted to react live, if you will, on the podcast to what you had said and not hear it from you and then kind of talk about it and then try to recreate that. And so I think I'm surprised that you enjoyed yourself so much because I thought you were going to compare it all to Disney and like nothing was going to hold a candle to that.
Nope. I was trying to be very open-minded.
Also concerned because you had said that you had, you didn't say what, but you had said that this ship had some limitations or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was concerned that like, oh, that's unfortunate that you're comparing Disney to this.
Yeah. I mean, and just kind of some weird things too, because like the carpeting choice, like, okay, because it's Disney. They're very intentional with everything, right? So just like the carpeting choices in Disney, like if you're taking the stairs, you kind of know where you are based on the carpet when you're even in the stairwell. This one, oh no, it didn't matter what floor you were on. Everything looked the same.
Yeah.
So you had to be very like conscious of watching signs to see where, you know, wait a minute, what, how many have we gone up or down or whatever. Elevators were kind of a mess. But
I have a question.
It is what it is. But the thing, like I kept saying, it felt very dark in the ship. Like the color choices they had for the carpeting were darker colors. It seemed like it was kind of dimly lit and tons, as you can see, tons and tons and tons of balcony rooms, which is great. But that also meant you didn't have very many windows if you weren't in your room on a balcony. So it was very limited as far as seeing like the ocean, unless you're up on the sun deck or in that one little section of the running track. It was you're kind of limited to be able to see out, which made me sad because that was one of the coolest things like about being on this big ship in the ocean is just kind of enjoying the outdoors. So like Disney, the promenade deck that went all the way around, they had chairs out there. They had like lounge chairs and stuff. Plus like a lot of the restaurants just had, there were big portholes just randomly wherever you were and you could just sit in the porthole and look out if you wanted. So
that is cool.
That was
sit in the porthole.
Yeah. So that was another different difference for us. That was kind of a negative, again, probably ship specific.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I just have to mention, because we really enjoyed this on our first cruise and Vern and I were really looking forward to this for this cruise and we got my dad on board with it.
Oh.
Soft serve. So we made sure every day had soft serve.
I
Disney has a flavor that rotates out. So that's fun. And Disney's, I think, was open 24 hours or at least any time of day that we went up there to go. And again, I'm not a night owl, so I wasn't up there at 1 a.m. But anytime that we'd go, it was open. This was part of the buffet. And there were certain times of the day that the buffet was closed. They were swapping over from lunch to dinner to breakfast to whatever. So there were certain times of the day it was closed, so you couldn't get it. And then it did close like at 9 o'clock at night. So we didn't have full 24-hour access to soft serve.
I also saw on Vern's Instagram that there were times where he did the like swirl and it was just
only,
one.
Yeah, only chocolate would
He's like, this is supposed to be swirl.
That happened a couple of times, actually.
I don't know why that just seems like a Vern thing. I just ran to
another machine because there was like four different soft serve machines within the buffet area. So I would just find another machine because I learned how to know if like one of the flavors was out because I figured out what the lights meant. Oh. So I would just shift myself.
So question, and this is just a general kind of question about cruise ship.
Uh-huh.
That you brought. So between Disney and this,
yeah,
one of our problems with our Royal Caribbean ship that was massive was there was two elevator banks at either end of the ship.
Yep.
And if you were in the middle, our room was kind of in the middle. You had to walk a long way to get to something. But also because there was only the two banks and so many people on the ship, you found yourself waiting. And a lot of times we would just be like, let's just walk up the stairs.
Yep.
How was that? Same. How was that on Disney and how was that here?
Two banks of elevators here. I don't know how many banks there were at Disney for the Magic. I feel like there may have been more. For sure there was one in the middle because our room was in the middle of the ship and we weren't that far from an elevator bank. It did feel like we had to wait. There was always a wait for the elevator. We were also on the second floor. So I think where we were trying to call the elevator from was not ideal. But the Magic only had two banks of elevators. There was one in the front, one in the back.
Yeah, there's three on the
Magic. I was going to say, I think the Magic had three.
Yeah.
So yeah, we spent a lot of time going up and down stairs, which was super fun, you know, going from the fifth floor all the way up to the 12th floor. So we got our stairs workouts in. In fact, disembark day, Vern and I didn't even bother. It was a cluster at our elevator bank. We just carried our bags down the stairs, however many flights. I think we had to get off at like floor, like it was like five or six flights of stairs. We just carried our luggage down because we're like, we're going to be here forever if we do that. So I try to get, I like having a room kind of more centrally located. So taking the stairs isn't like 0 to 100. It's, you know.
Oh, I just looked at the deck plan for the Disney Dream, which is the boat we're going on. There are also three banks of elevators. Anytime there's been like two, that's not enough. Well, because you have to walk further on these ships. But also, like I said, you get people want to take an elevator. Yeah. They're on vacation. They don't want to walk up and downstairs.
Yeah, there's. Well, and then you got to think of like if they've got like mobility issues or EVs or, you know, anything like that.
And you said the other one was the what?
You were on the Magic. Going to be on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were on the Magic.
Okay, cool. So, anything else that you want to talk about?
It was wonderful. I wouldn't like jump back on to do that same
ship.
But yeah, I'm still open to trying another non-Disney cruise. I think in talking to my parents, I think things have shifted with Norwegian since the pandemic, which maybe they're having trouble hiring. You know, there could be who knows how many things because they said the towel animals used to be a thing. In fact, they used to have like classes that they teach you how to make the towel animals in. And then same thing, like the room would be multiple times a day. They didn't notice all the weirdness with the like weights and all that stuff too. So I told them, I said, maybe you guys should try another cruise. I said, maybe, you know, you don't have to jump all the way up to Disney.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe we should try another one as a family.
Well, for instance, James's parents, they love MSC.
Yeah.
Like, I've looked at some of their offerings, like entertainment stuff, and that's not really our vibe for a ship, but they just like to kind of chill.
Sure.
They love MSC. That's their cruise line.
Yep. See? And that's why there's multiple cruise lines to fit multiple personalities.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
If you want to go to cruise, though, a Disney cruise, contact our friends over at Concierge. They will be happy to book you a Disney cruise.
They can help you with all the ins and outs because being a first-time cruiser last year, it can be a little overwhelming because there's all sorts of things you got to try and think of, and they will help make that process easy.
And what's been different for me going through the process for the first time is the different like windows of things that open. Yeah. So like excursions are one day, and depending on how many times you've cruised with them, there's a different window.
So they can help navigate.
Check-in stuff's all different, so Concierge, just have them do all the hard work for you.
Exactly.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer.
Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, hello, welcome back to Trivia Land. I hope you had a nice little journey and discussion, whatever that place is.
Like the name of the place we have discussions?
I mean, you added Snapchat, so why sure. isn't everything branded at this point?
We're in Beast's Library. Rest in peace.
Yes, but curiosity, how do you feel you did this week?
Not so great. Not so great.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I felt better about last week.
And yep, you tell me I'm the easy trivia
well,
guy.
Well, usually,
that
but I feel...
one was a head scratcher.
I feel like you're trying to combat that image of yourself.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, it's your fault then.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's see how you really did. So my first question, I wanted to know on the attraction Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue, where the Smellitzer is put to use during the sushi date scene, what smell do guests experience? You went with soy sauce. You're in the right theme, but I was looking for ginger.
Oh.
Ginger is the scent there. Number two, the authentic gas lamps along Main Street were mostly bought from a city in the U.S. Funny enough, they were actually being scrapped, so that's why they were bought for cheap. And so they came from Teresa Sing the Song.
Good morning, Baltimore.
That's right.
Good job.
Primary Baltimore. Also some from St. Louis and Philadelphia are the other names I saw as well.
Not from Iowa.
Not from Iowa. Or Ohio.
Yeah.
I also learned Disneyland had a cast member that used to actually light the lamps at dusk, which is pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
So, that'd be cool to watch.
Yeah. So super, super neat thing. All right. Moving on. Third question. I wanted to know if you knew what e-ticket attractions were when e-ticket first became a thing. Fun fact, on the e-ticket, there were actually 14 attractions listed, but that's because they listed the train at every stop it made.
Oh, dang it. So, oh, no, that's like an A or B. C or D ticket.
Stop it.
Dang it.
It ended up being that way. That's the thing.
Yep. So the other ones that you missed, we'll go through the park. In Tomorrowland, there was the rocket to the moon.
Oh, well, that was close kind of-ish to what I was thinking.
Yep. The submarine voyage and the monorail.
Yay.
You got those. In Fantasyland, Matterhorn bobsleds.
Yep.
You got that.
Right.
In Adventureland, the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah. Woo.
So you have greatly undervalued Frontierland, where we got the Rainbow Ridge Pack Mules. Yay. The Rainbow Mountain Stagecoaches.
Okay. Oh, I forgot about the stagecoaches. Oh,
and get ready for these last three. The Mark Twain Steamboat.
Oh, no.
The Sailing Ship Columbia. And I kid you not, Tom Sawyer Island Rafts.
Oh.
Okay, I was going to contest the Sailing Ship Columbia because I thought it showed up in the 60s, but it showed up in 1958, so...
So it was new, so that makes sense.
Yeah. They got upgraded, though. It says here in the Wikipedia article that I looked up while James was reading this...
Everything that was a D ticket became an E ticket.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yep. That's how they got there, because otherwise it would have just been the new attraction. So it would have been Matterhorn, Monorail, and Submarine.
Oh,
Village.
Sure.
So...
Dang, we... Did not do well with that at all. How were the buckets? What were the buckets? How
Skyway?
Was that not?
I don't know.
I feel like that was a super cool thing.
Just a little more accessible, I guess.
Maybe because you had to go, like, use two tickets because to go down, like, to Fantasyland and back. It wasn't like a loop. Maybe it was a lower ticket.
Oh, that's not a bad guess, actually.
Hmm.
Anyway, last question. Pie questions in honor of Pie Day later this week. I've given you four pies, and I want you to know where they are, or at least were, at the park when you could find them. First one was the lemon chiffon pie for the Disney 100 celebration. Answer I was looking for? Hungry Bear.
Woo-hoo.
So, Teresa nailing that one down at the
end. Snuck that in at the last minute.
Seriously. Second pie, key lime pie celebrating a certain TV show. I couldn't tell you that it was the second season of Loki because you would have found your way to Pym Test Kitchen.
Oh, Pym Test Kitchen had one?
Yeah.
For Loki? I mean, that makes total sense.
Sure.
And then 3 and 4 were both hand pies from the summer 2022, raspberry and lemon. The raspberry hand pie was at Bing Bong Sweets. And the lemon hand pie was at Pooh Corner.
I was going to say, I think it was at
Pooh's. Oh, dang it.
So,
no, what do you mean, dang it? You got said that one right.
Oh, I did get it right.
Jeez, it's a good thing I write these down.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I am really impressed, Teresa, with how well you remember the hand pies from like a year and a half ago.
I still haven't tried all of them. So,
yeah.
Next trip. We got to get you. You got to try. The blueberry, I think, is the one that I've liked the best of the ones we've tried.
The blueberry was good. The strawberry wasn't too bad, but the blueberry was the best.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, we didn't try guava or lemon, which I don't think you're trying.
Well,
lemon.
I'm not trying lemon, but guava could be good.
Yeah.
I got to admit, the two I picked were the two that I was most interested in flavor-wise, mm-hmm. So.
Okay, James and I will share a lemon one then.
Well, there we go.
Oh, yes. And it's from Pooh Corner. How can I not love that? So, well, I had fun this week brainstorming a ton of questions, but it's always fun to ask your questions to listeners at home. So if you got a good idea for producer Vern and I to stump TNT, send us an email. It's trivia@dlweekly.net or submit it on our website. We've got a form for you to submit it all the same, and it works great. And that website you can go is dlweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sidell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.